Item number 4, which is written by the department, becomes number 5, and then we take number 5, we make it number 4. In other words, we start with a briefing by the department on the outcome of the elections in those countries. And that the deputy minister can put in a very political overview around that. Then he'll also speak about those elections, but he can also make some kind of a political overview of whatever got DM you are with me. Eh? And saying that if you can put any political overview around this item and also present on the election. And of course you will defer to the colleagues in the department to assist you. Well, arising from the fact that there were elections in Israel, I suggest that after Mozambique, we just say Israel. I will try to guide that item, I think. Ordinarily, we would have said, let's get the outcome of the elections next week or some time. But because there have been marches to our parliament by the Palestinian coalition, and certain demands were made, and were for certain positions about the Middle East, and the deployment of the special envoy by the president. Because of that, we may need to just reflect, make some smaller observations. So, just after Mozambique, Israel. Then the last item that I'm proposing is, I think it came from Kalyan last time. But where are we with the petition that was presented to us by the National Coalition for Palestine, which becomes our number 6, then closing. So we kind of have changed the number in terms of my proposal. Okay, can I give Honorable Rapuri in the person call?
Chair, thank you very much, and good morning. I agree with the proposal that the chair has made, and the changing of the agenda, and moving for the adoption of the agenda.
Honorable Puti is moving, and what is Honorable
thank you very much, Shay. Just on a point of the petition, is it for you to give us a progress report of how far it is going to be dealing with the substance of it? Or it's just a progress report on saying we've got this petition, how do we proceed moving forward?
I think it will be how do we proceed moving forward. The reason why we're inserting it is because Honorable Kalia raised it and said, let's look at it in the next meeting.
I supposedly move to adopt the agenda.
Thank you very much, colleagues. So the agenda is so adopted. I have earlier on said the meeting is set on 10th, and we welcome all of you. We welcome the department. Our Honorable Deputy Minister Lenders is here with us. However, before we go to apologies, well, it's not personal, but I'm not happy that we're touching it 5 to 10. There are still 2 Honorable Members who are not here with us, 3 or even 4. Dudley is not here, Kekwata is not here, Olomi is not here, Honorable Member for EFF is not here, Bumluan is not here, Kenny is not here, Khatebe is not here, speak to his absence, and the DG just got in. If we started at 9:30 exactly, the DG would have been late. I think, we've got to improve a little bit on time management. Remember last time we said that when we started 10, we delayed by 20 minutes at least. We therefore started 10:30. and we are unable to finish at one and make space for lunch. And if I could say that, you know, colleagues, our committee is dealing with international relations and cooperation. And South Africa is involved in at least 126 countries. South Africa is therefore a very influential country in the international family of nations. In many fora, within SADC, within the African Union, the entire Africa, and all of the other branches, the United States, Europe, Asia, etc. And we are an affiliate to many other bodies. Now, this work that is done by the President and done by this department, ECO, it's an important work for the country. But whether things should happen the way they are happening, this committee is an important ear and eye of Parliament. Now, it is very, therefore very important that honorable members should be put up with regard to the work we are doing. Attendance of committee meetings, getting information on time, to be able to ask the right and good questions that will assist Parliament, so that Parliament can keep oversight, so that the department can do good work for all South Africans. Very, very important. So, unlike other committees that deal with domestic matters, we are dealing with the whole world. Just as the department itself is dealing with the whole world on behalf of South Africa, we who must know what is happening in that land and inform Parliament and inform our people. So the one of the placed on our shoulders is actually a very important responsibility. And of course we're dealing with an ever-changing world. So clearly, I'm just saying, it's a pleasure, again, with regard to the attendance and with regard to item management. It might be an item for discussion outside the official situation, if, in my view, I approve it. But I just thought it's an open secret, which is today one, to be right. That's also which I'm apologies, I think. Did you hear me?
Yes.
No. I'm asking the gentleman next to my lad. I think that's what I have never seen. No, I'm putting your leg. Let's get into item number two. And apologies. Apologies, actually. And I have two apologies. One from Robert S. Kalyan. I should not be attending your meeting due to other occasions. And obviously, Daddy should join us shortly soon. Thank you. Thank you very much. Honorable B.A. Khate, a member of this committee, is unable to be with us. He's attending to a daughter. Yesterday, he was just not himself when he was in the house. He did come to me and say that I will just try to soldier on because it's a three-line week. So, because it's a three-line week, and the voting might take place, and it did take place. He then said that he was unable to consider the doctor, and we know what time we left Parliament. He is going to see the doctor this morning. And I'm sure you remember that he was not able to attend the date of the national trust. So he's still attending to some lingering effects of that ill health. And with that, I suggest that we pronounce ourselves on the apologies. Agreed to. Thank you very much. So the agenda has already been adopted after the changes that have been effected. Can I then request that we rise and observe a moment of silence in honor and in fond memory of Honorable Minister Chavane, and his two protectors that passed on the 15th of May, I mean this month, 2015. May their souls rest in peace. Thank you. We will now hand over to our Honourable Deputy Minister, Deputy Minister Lenda, to walk us through the item we've referred to, which is briefing for the department. We will make some political observations if you want to, and any other item. Deputy Minister, over to you. Is it working?
Chairperson, thank you for the opportunity. It's been a while. At some point, I'm expecting you to request my presence to report on my many travels and activities. I'm not going to say much because my Director General, Ambassador Jerry Machuda, and Mr. Ramachandra are both here, and they are far more capable of dealing with the department's or ARF's performance and financial report for the third quarter, as well as dealing with the question. Mine is to take you through the outcome of elections in the SADC region, and also to deal with this matter. I would really respectfully hand over to His Excellency Matthew the Majora to take you through briefing by the department.
Thanks, Honourable Chair, and thanks, Deputy Minister. Honourable Chair, I hope members have I'm going to refer to the screen as I briefly go through the report as the minister was indicating. And I'm not limiting upwards, but I think it will be better on more than that because you are observant. The third member is as the chair of the SADC office, since the summit of SADC in August last year in Victoria Falls, the Arabian Kingdom responsibility as expected to ensure the attendance of the region to the elections in various countries. And at an organ also, we had to coordinate and make sure that together with the SADC Secretariat, we have warm bodies on the ground way in time before the elections. And I know some of our members have introduced the elections. The first one here is in the one that was held on the 4th of October. This was the election as planned, after the end of the 5 years. And the observation that was made was that the elections went in all respects, the free, fair, transparent, and Botswana's expressed their view. There were no major issues in Botswana that you could say they have characterized the discourse among political parties in Botswana. And we did send down a team of 900 observers that were deployed from Namibia in Botswana elections. There were 12 members from South Africa drawn from this parliament to the government. So these teams were in Botswana before and stayed in Botswana after the election. There was an observation made by the SADC team, which places, among other things, the interaction with political parties, with society. People say there was arrest and harassment of journalists. They said the government used resources to its advantage. There was an unequal and unfair coverage of political events by national broadcaster. In some cases, the ballot arrived late. But
with even those observations, everybody says the code of conduct has literally and the code of security was that had to 10 out of 5%, and the at the end as we were trying to issue the statement that the mission was in Botswana, where the elections were peaceful, transparent, favorable, free and fair. And the outcome of the election is on the screen. For the first time, the ruling party lost quite a number of seats, but still retained the majority enough to govern Botswana. As usual, we follow the environment after the election. We don't just observe, pronounce, but we see what happens after the election. And to date, there are no major since peaceful in Botswana, there were no one who challenged the any result of the court, Kushner court. So we then observed that it means everybody accepted the outcome of the election. And true to the Botswana culture, they always confirm the issues by the discussions. So that is the next in Botswana. I don't know whether another one wants me to proceed to Soto or if there are any questions.
Not unless I will disadvantage members. In the interest of time, if I have seen my way, I would have requested that you present the elections on all the countries. But when members engage, then they would say that meant on Lesotho, that meant on Botswana. It could save time. Have I persuaded members already? Thank you very much. Proceed.
Okay, elections in Lesotho, which was held on the 20th of February 2016. This held 2-3 years before the 2012. We expected the 5 years in 2017 we would have the election. We would have early because of what we all know happened in on that day, the 30th of August 2014, was sent to Lesotho on a very quick mission to try to address an otherwise very difficult situation. And as you know, part of our work at that time was not only to analyze the situation, but to ensure that the Prime Minister was safe when the lady branch, and was an emergency SADC summit, a series of summits on Lesotho. But all these pronouncements of the region led to the agreement ultimately that the only other way is for the Lesotho to go to the election. And as you recall, there were three issues that SADC had to consider. The first one, if you don't think about the election, means we had to stabilize the coalition, the three-party coalition, so that we can then pass necessary votes for the election. The second one was to stabilize the situation in Lesotho. And then the third one was the elections. And all those have been done successfully. So, and there was no change to the Lesotho constitution. So elections was held like in Botswana under the Lesotho electoral law. We self-deployed the observers 2 weeks before the elections to move around the country. 84 observers, just to make sure that the stability and all masses can canvass, vote freely across the country without a fear. We had 12 Africans in this contingent. As you recall, we have sent a team that was led by Deputy President Ramaphosa. And then we appointed a facilitator stations in the sport. In the last double track assignment, they then, to transition from stabilization to election, they reinforced the SADC observer mission in Lesotho. We have to send over 100 more police, army, personnel, and others sent around 30 each. But 2011 we had almost like 400 plus strong security forces in the suit to make sure that the ballot boxes can be sent to the polling stations. Polling stations are secured, they are collected, and they are counted in a process. So that was a sort of initial intervention that ADEC had to make to ensure that hospitals have an environment of peace to cast their votes. Chair, the mission had observed that there was a concern on the security situation in the country. There was concern about the reliability of voters' roll. It is an old voters' roll. It's not a new one. So there was a big concern. Which one we use? And how many people have passed on? How many were born? How many qualified? They didn't have updated voters' roll. And I think one of the members should take pride in South Africa that we could possibly update voters' roll. Every time people turn 18 years, there is a mass campaign. Not very countries do like what we do. So you find people quarreling about voters' roll. So that was one of the challenges in the survey. And the other change was the readiness of the election commission in the survey. It was a very squeezed time for them. Vast country, very difficult to traverse in the Soto. Mountainous, not very good, developed roads, so really needed a lot of improving the area or you have to fly around. The second thing was the tension from the coalition, which didn't make things easier either, because ordinarily you expect the center to hold and to prepare. But if the center was in the Soto, that's some of the things that were really very problematic. But however, again, the mission of Basotho was of sitting and talking. There was that atmosphere of tolerance. You know, I can say elastic tolerance that made it possible for SADC to deploy, for SADC to show that everybody has and that's why on the voting day, it was so peaceful. So ordered and so peaceful. During counting, so peaceful. But the result was not conclusive, as predicted by all of you in the region. There was no outright deal in the state. And therefore, again, you are back into coalition politics in the state. Perhaps it's going to be a permanent feature of the state. They're going to have a coalition government. So yesterday, the professor, Lily was again brought back after a few years of absence as the Prime Minister of Lesotho. The outcome is in the board. Now there's something very interesting in Lesotho. The ADC or the former Prime Minister won what we call popular vote. Normally they have 120 MP member of parliament. So 80 popular vote, 40 is proportional. So although the Prime Minister won the majority, I think 40 popular votes, almost half of the popular votes. When they brought in the proportional, he lost to the weak Congress of now Prime Minister. The LCD got only two votes in the popular vote, and they got 10. Through the system of reunification. And so was the DNP. There was only one vote. It was a popular vote. But there was six in the what you call it. But at the end, we then have a coalition of six parties in government. And the Prime Minister has by far the majority leaders. That's why the Minister came to see as a fair. So the issue going forward, there are six issues that we think our members should bear in mind with their input. The first one is media reform. This is a complaint across that the media is biased to this and that. So you need media The second one was how parties should have access media systems in South Africa, where parties are given resources to rather to the strength of parliament. It's a useful one. So that no one can say, I didn't have a resource to campaign. So that was one of the issues maybe that you should. The second one was voter's role. It must be renewed. There's a lot of things that pass on when the voter's role. So maybe we need to renew drastically voter's role to ensure the certainty, the ability, and everybody is sure about that. The third one, I think, is the issue of delivery of material to voting stations. It's a regular terrain, so you need a lot of helicopters to move around to make sure that people do not question why election materials are so late. Then two more important issues. We think there was institutional reform in the sector. Make sure that in a time of crisis, maybe the king has some way of saving the country. Because in this instance, the majesty, with the current arrangement, could not do much to take care of his people. And even the second one is the Secretary Reform, where you see that allegations that the police favors this party, the army favors this party. So when you have something like that, you don't have a unified security of the country. The intelligence is squeezed in between. So that's why I think Sarek was saying what you need to do was to make sure that the post and one off. That's why Sarek is saying, I agree with this. Ordinarily, they're supposed to start packing their bags and coming back home. From today, but he said no, they should stay 2 more weeks to make sure that there is a bit of stability. And lastly, I think there must be somewhere in the constitution or the guideline something to do with the coalition politics. We went to New Zealand to study coalition politics, and I think that's study by the Commonwealth, not by Commonwealth, we are asked to suit to be in the question of coalition. Okay, that was on Lesotho. We hope there will be stability in Lesotho, especially if they can begin to see those issues, including economic development. Members will recall that when South Africa began to construct the 2 big dams in Lesotho, the spin-off of that was a major infrastructure development in Lesotho, roads, telecommunication and electricity. It was a 2 billion rand spent out of that investment. Not only for the first phase of the third dam. So we hope that again we'll see a lot of economic input into the social business. And if they do that, I think they can then open up the food for a major agricultural development and agro-industry issues. Improve the environment in the kingdom, including the revenue. Because of now, they rely a great extent on the revenue, which I don't think is sustainable. So we hope that they will use this chance of the development of the third dam and the agriculture on the other dam, you know, multiply that and make sure that the next one is Namibia. Now this again a stage of the election. Held as planned as the Namibian election. There is no major drama against the chair. Except that we saw another peaceful handover of the leadership that fell since Namibian independence in 1990. It's a third smooth transition from one president to another president. Of course, it's still in the same ruling party. We see now President-elect Dr. Hage Geingob. It is a very interesting election in November. So there's about 5 months transition. So So on the 21st, Saturday, the President Hekuma. So 8th November, there has been a traditional arrangement. And I think it's a very, very interesting lesson that you have such a transition, so to say, that in a way have to ensure that things go through. Again, our minister led the SADC mission, as it is in Botswana, as it is in Lesotho, as the chair of the executive committee of the ORC. She went to Namibia to launch elections, then came to Namibia to pronounce the outcome of the election. Of course, in all this case, together with the SADC executive secretariat in this mission and other member states, including those who are not members of the TREC. So Chair, as what you were saying, this was one of the smooth exquisite elections in Namibia, and to summarize, the SWAPO won by far the overwhelming majority. Mr. Gingov got something like 80% of the vote, and the nearest rival, Mr. Banani, got 4.8%, and Hamutena 3.5%. Both elections, the outcome members can see from the board, is the overwhelming vote for SWAPO for the next 5 years. There was only one trick issue in this election, all members, and it was the use of the electronic voting machine. It's something that electronic voting machine, AVM, I think it's something that we need to follow quite closely. Because even if people wanted to go this way, people say it's not prepared people. So this electronic voting machine really caused a problem. Because you're able to go to remote areas and it doesn't work, then you are in a problem. It means the voting station may close for hours on end. You need to try engineers to go there. So maybe in a more urbanized, more developed environment, maybe. But however, Namibian colleagues have been dealing with this issue. It was the only, I think, a tricky issue for this election in Namibia. But otherwise, but we have to correct the slide we have, because President Zuma will not be going to Namibia, as we said in the information. Former Prime Minister. So we meet an apology to Namibia. The President will be unfortunately not be able to attend. Chair, then Zambia. Zambia had elections. We can maybe call it what? Snap elections. Maybe call it snap elections in the parliamentary language. Had a snap election because of the demise of President Sata. October last year. So the constitution says that within a reasonable time of 3 months, the acting president has to call for the election. And that's why on 3rd of January this year, in Zambia, the political parties contested. There were fewer than Lesotho. Lesotho had 21 political parties from 2 million people. So I think Zambia is consolidating the political environment there. Again, Chair, you know, the election, you saw how it went from the media. First, there was a question as to whether the current president elected or rather. I think at the end, the party resolved the issue that he has a right to send for the election. The observation made was that except for minor incidences, the elections went smooth, it was free, it was fair, but very tight, very tight. And I think the outcome of that election shows, if you look into your screen, you see how the now president Zuma called. Just couple of thousand ahead of the second honorable teacher, teacher Lam. Very, very tight elections indeed in Zambia. But the voters have cast a top, and now we have governments of President African Lungu, in our country in the last few days. Shall we also observe beyond that? There were no challenge to the vote. There is no change. Zambia has now resigned, that is, with a new president. However, maybe in 8 months, he will go back to the polls. Because it was a snap election. So he was just competing with another attack. So they may go back in the next 18 months for the general election. So we hope that between now and then, it will be very peaceful. Chair Madagascar, the island of Madagascar. Chair, as you know, the drama in Madagascar, the crisis in Madagascar. Again, Madagascar. This region, Chair, I think has done something. This region has never allowed the crisis to go, to go out of trouble. This is a combined area of tools. First, preemptive, second, diplomatic, then continuous engagement in the crisis. Now, the combination of these three tools has created a bit of certainty in the region upon the resolution of the conflict. This is the same case with Madagascar. First line of preemptive, then the intensive diplomatic presence, and then FADEC send a mission there. Of course, coordinating with France and other powers to make sure that we're very committed to help them in Madagascar. Chair, to cut the whole story short, you know, President Harry, Raja Mari Mambayan Nina is the president. Chair, you cannot say the president's name is a center. Maybe diplomatic name can say the very president's name. The diplomatic name. I don't know, Mambianina. Chair, I do have practice because it's our leader in the region. Tomorrow we'll be the chair. Next time we'll be the chair, so we have to learn to pronounce this name. What has happened since then is very interesting. You recall your guest, Rabolo Manana, left unannounced back home. So our guest left, went home, got the press conference, then he was arrested, and then house arrested. But yeah, what has happened since then? Again, through this romantic interaction between us and Madagascar, especially as we discussed, the five former presidents, four and now, have so far met three times. Current president, Rabolo Manana, Ajolina, Tatiraga, they've been talking about the future of Madagascar. And this is the beauty of SADC. SADC intervention, SADC mediation efforts. But at the end of the day, it is the Malagasy people and their leaders who will sort out the problem of Madagascar. So what is still left is some unfinished stories from what we are dealing with Madagascar in terms of their constitution. Now, you recall, Chair, when you made a roadmap, which is among other things, we will take that map, come back, and we will have a lot of people doing it. That's why when he landed, he was arrested. Because we have not finished that part of unconditional return of political exile. The second one is a composition of the, what they call prejudice by process. Now, Article 27 talks about the need to compensate some people. Now, we have not really resolved this issue. Part of this five-prison discussion is how to deal with this question. And then the other one is the national reconciliation, Article 25. Madagascar has been murdered for some years. So we thought that perhaps the long-term study of Madagascar needs a long-term reconciliation process in Madagascar. Especially
the role of the army and the role of various formation Madagascar. So it is hoped that through renomination again of former president of Mozambique, Chissano, that decision by the AU, they must be accompanied by legal experts. Part of that decision was because they have to sort out those articles I read to, and they are all Article 20, 25, 27. And I believe that if the current president Chissano can give those issues, we may have to a large extent the unity of Madagascar, especially after the Prime Minister, the President has chosen General Jean Rabilo Narivu, the General at the Prime Minister. What he did, he really pacified the military. And we can see what I'm called, as I say, was the stability as you see now in America. During the AU, President Zuma did meet the current president just to urge them to be a bit tolerant and to be accommodative and look towards some form of a unity government that can bring this battered island to a route of stability. And his hope is that through this inaction, through the processes, Madagascar, as a member of SADC, is seen to reap the fruits of being democratic and free. Chair, we have not left Madagascar, as you can see from my notes. We still have a presence there, as you say, through diminishing processes. And ourselves, Chair, we move our bilateral relations to make sure that the situation, although it is fragile, holds. And everything is done to deal with the other outstanding questions of Madagascar, including helping them, to deal with all the phases of SADC roadmap. Okay, that is the very few in summary of the development in the region. Chair, as I said, that the Honorable Deputy Minister Langner participated in the elections in Mozambique, and I think we want to invite to Honorable Deputy Minister to bring to the House. The last one was Mauritius. It was not part of what you have asked, but it was very, very peaceful. Again, a peaceful change of hope. In Muda, there have been two prime ministers, you know. You go, I come, you go, it's just two for the last 2 years. This one win, I go to position. Next time I win, go to position. It's been like that. Very close understanding of two parties, two brothers, for some time. And that's when we have been staying. All that you know, this one is going, so it's coming. It's your chance, it's my chance. It's that time for perception.
Deputy Minister, over to you on Mozambique.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson, and my thanks go to the DG for his comprehensive report. Chairperson, Mozambique was my first experience as the head of the South Electoral Civil Mission on behalf of my minister and on behalf of the president. When I arrived there, I found present and active in Mozambique, the African Union, understandably. The European Union, a very, very strong contingent. The Commonwealth, again, a very strong contingent. And we have in SADC what we call the Electoral Commission. And they comprise a delegation of their own. We remained there in the pre-election phase and the election day and a short post-electoral phase. Our observer mission deployed teams in all provinces in Mozambique. I need to just take you a little back because you would know if you had followed events in Mozambique that there was violence that had occurred. Afonso Tracaba and his followers had left Mozambique and gone into the mountains fully armed and prepared to take on the government and the Mozambique Defense Force and anybody else. And that was the crimes that the country was facing. Fortunately for us all, Whitehead prevailed. SADC leadership intervened, as well as certain members of the European Union. And using diplomacy, tact, and persuasion, persuaded Tacoma and his people to lay down their arms, or to confine themselves to barracks, which they did, and persuaded them to participate in the election. I make the point about the European Union and the Commonwealth because I want to compare it with the situation in Namibia at the end of my brief in Chairperson. Needless to say, there were incidents that occurred both during the pre-election phase and on election day that people pounced on as reasons for having the elections declared null and void. Fortunately, as the observer mission, we were able to prevail and persuade all the other missions that this is not the case. If two people meet on the street and the one is wearing a Coke t-shirt and the other is wearing an EFF t-shirt and they decide to come to blows, it doesn't mean that the elections are not being fixed. It just means that those two gentlemen had a disagreement. And this was the case in Mozambique. People met on the street, came to blows, and the media blew it up. There was shooting. A voter was shot in the thigh and had to be rushed to hospital in the far northern province. This was also pounced on as a possible reason why the election should not proceed. And this was the climate that prevailed, and at all times we were able to use our influence and persuade everyone that, yes, it's an unfortunate incident. We condemn it and called on the law enforcement agencies and everyone else to be responsible and mature and to conduct themselves in a manner that was befitting. On election day itself, everything went off smoothly. The process that we follow is that you choose a polling station, you witness the opening, and stay there for a couple of hours, and at the end of the election day, you go back to that polling station to witness the clip, which is what we did. During the course of the election day, we were informed that an election officer was found with a box of ballot papers that had already been building. Now again, Chairperson, honorable members, DG, this was pounced on as a valid reason why the election should be cancelled. Mozambique has the unusual system in SADC and indeed in Africa. The Constitutional Council, which is the equivalent of our Constitutional Court, is the body that determines or rules on the election outcome. No one else has the authority to do that. And the council does that about 4 or 5 months after election day, affording all interested parties sufficient space and time and opportunity to lodge their complaints in the electoral courts and other courts in Mozambique. And once those processes have been finalized, then the Constitutional Council sits the full bench and decides on whether the election was free and fair. From our point of view, the day after election day, we sat, as we usually do, and called a press conference. I was the first, and we declared, as far as we were concerned, that the elections were free, fair, and credible, and we gave reasons why. During the course of the day, other observer missions did the same, and unanimously all the observer missions made the same declaration as we did. I refer to the Electoral Commission. This is an interesting body because with their expertise in running elections, we see things that you and I as politicians and civil servants miss or fear to miss. And so I would love to have obtained their report. Unfortunately, their report is only for the government of that particular country. But I am given to understand that their report is far more critical and detailed than all the others, because they focus on specific issues that they observe on election day and in the polling station, and call on the government and the domestic electoral commission to either change or improve upon. Now, again, I go back. As you probably all know, Mozambique has large deposits of gas fields. They also have, we are told, the largest coal deposits in the world, larger even than South Africa. They are probably going to discover oil in Mozambique, offshore. And so these very comprehensive and large observer mission that I found in Mozambique, I thought, when I moved over to Namibia to launch the SADC Electoral Observer Mission there with my minister, I would find the European Union and the Commonwealth. To my disappointment, they were nowhere to be seen. I realized then that the reason they were in Mozambique was to possibly exert their influence on the Mozambicans insofar as these natural resources are concerned. All the European countries still in Namibia was to appoint a few ambassadors, three or four of them, if they felt the need to observe the elections in Namibia. Well, the Commonwealth wasn't there in Namibia at all, which is rather sad. Of course, in Mozambique, Frelimo, the ruling party, were the winners, and Philippe Musset is the new, will be the new president. Surprisingly, Alfonso Takama, whom we all know very well, did exceptionally well. He did a lot better than we expected. The real loser was Davis Simango and the MDM, who was expected to win far more than he did, but unfortunately he didn't. An interesting point, and I make this point for what it's worth, the youth in Mozambique made the point very strongly that they liked Alfonso Takama, and they liked the things he was saying and doing. Yes, I know, you're looking at me very strangely, honorable members. I also found it odd and strange, but clearly in Mozambique there's a generational change taking place. So what we know about Takama, the youth in Mozambique, either don't know or are not interested. I make that point just to for your interest. So, Chairperson, in brief, that is my report on Mozambique.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister. Honourable members, earlier on I said that we will also bring in the elections that took place in Israel. And that we need some kind of a perfunctory reflection and observations around that. Members will remember that even as Israel went to the elections yesterday, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is leading a coalition government there. So the Likud party, known to be, well, Netanyahu himself known to be very right-wing and very hawkish and sometimes unwilling to engage into negotiations with the other belligerents within the area to bring about peace in the Middle East. And of course, noting that we here in South Africa, particularly as Parliament, have been engaged by the coalition of Palestine around development in the Middle East, as well as by the South African Board of Deputies. I myself have met them either 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. Should be 3 weeks. I'll come back to that if I have a statement. But let me just say that I did indicate to them that the position of our parliament was that we will always support a two-state system, a peaceful coexistence of the state of Israel and a peaceful existence, the creation of the state of Palestine, who will respect the sovereignty of each and the territorial sovereignty, I mean territorial integrity of each. I read that with the South African Board of Deputies in Cape Town with their national representatives. Now, the reason why I'm saying, let's have just some elementary reflection, is because just before the elections, Netanyahu said that if he won the election, he was going to continue with the settlement of people into the Palestinian territory, such as your West Bank, your Gaza, and all of things like that. And in fact, he does not want a Palestinian state. He's going to put the problem both to the government of South Africa, and I'm not going to speak for the government, but for us as parliament, we still have to relate to his parliament. To put a strain on how we relate to a parliament led by a government that says there should be no existence of a state for the Palestinian people. In South Africa, both parliament and government over the last 3 years stood by this position of the two-state system. Personally. This might also mean that he is going to be in conflict with quite a number of bodies, our Parliament of South Africa, Cabinet of South Africa, regarding the fact that he does not want the state of Palestine. African Union, the United Nations, the United States also supports a two-state system. No one says there must be an extinction of the state of Palestine or its people, or an extermination or extinction of the state and the people of Israel. So I don't know what kind of coalition government he is ultimately going to form and what the attitude of that government. Because I'm talking about Benjamin Netanyahu and not the government is going to form around this issue. But you see, I'm standing from the principle that we must respect the outcome of this election as a reflection of the expressed will of the Israeli people. We've got to. It means he spoke for the majority when he said the things that he said. I'm going to leave things at that. And we can then engage on all of the other things that were spoken about, the countries. I earlier on requested that we needed to allow Ambassador Machila to make the presentation, and then the deputy minister faced with Mozambique. Thank you very much, Ambassador Nachila. I now see that once an ambassador, always an ambassador. The ambassador is refusing to leave you. Yeah. We've been joined by Honorable Pumlwana, and the Honorable Legreen, and the Honorable Mwango, and Honorable Kenya, and Honorable Kota. Now I'm inviting comments. Really, just indicate in that country, I want to make the following observation or whatever you want to say. Honorable Mkalafa, you want to have a first fight. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Mr. President, and thank you, DG, Ambassador Mashila, for the presentation. I think without saying, I had the opportunity to observe elections in Mozambique and see the role that South Africa plays in terms of election observation. And frankly, this has been quite a very strange season because we had quite a lot of election observation missions in the SADC region. I think there's about 6 or 7 of them, which might be quite a lot of technical. But the issues that you have raised, Ambassador, in result to those 5-6 issues, I think they cut across most of these countries. When you speak of media freedom, when you speak about funding for political parties, when you speak about the use of state resources, the lines becoming very black when it comes to election campaigning, government business, and the issues of the voters, and I think they cut across. And I think we, South Africa, has the share of the choice and our role in SADC. And I think it also goes to the Deputy Minister to look at what mechanisms are we putting in place to ensure that some of these things, I know that most of these things goes towards constitutional amendments in individual countries, which makes it difficult for us to perhaps intervene. In terms of SADC forum, what are we doing to ensure that such things are, as I said, because of time and time again, when you go to election observation, part of the contestations about this key critical issue. And I know that from a SADC point of view, there are protocols that we have put in, there are resolutions that are put in, but always the devil becomes the domestication of those protocols. But I think if we try to democratize SADC region, I think we have to make sure that some of these things have got some form of SADC intervention so that they do not reoccur. I know it's a really difficult question to ask, Chair. But secondly to that, Chair, the election observation has opened my eyes that surely as South Africa and I think as a region, we need to invest more in election observation. Because when you look at our experience as South Africans in how we run elections and you look at how other countries run elections, we are way ahead in terms of that. And I think the exchange of our best practice will definitely go a long way in assisting in the region. And I think to that effect, I would strongly urge that we invest more in election observation because I served in the SADC Parliament and Forum. And when we were in Big Falls, three more elections were coming. Malaysia, Zambia, and Libya, and the Forum was saying there are no funds for election observation, leaving it to individual countries in SADC to go and do election observation. So it means that the heavy burden will really be on our shoulders as South Africa to ensure that we invest more in election observation. But notwithstanding, I think the work that we've done in the last 5 months in all those 7 elections is quite remarkable. And well done to the department, because most of the election observation missions were supported by him, calling on Parliament to come in. And well done, Ambassador, and I think well done to the ministry as well, because of leading an election observation mission as a country is a mammoth task, not an easy task. Because if everything goes wrong, your head as a country is on the line. So these are serious critical matters and that we need to look forward. And I think we as a committee, when we engage further in this space, I think we need to ensure that election information becomes a core factor of what we do. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Kalasa. Let's start with Maina, then go to Rakuti, then go to Kenya, and then make that order.
Thanks very much. My observation is that the outcome of the elections in the various councils project the SADC region as a champion of democratic process, and I think this needs to be uploaded. In particular, the fact that the SADC region was able to convince the renown to lead our arms and take part in elections was quite an achievement. The outstanding issues in the country of President Rajao Narimon Biyanina. Also need to be followed up. But I just wanted to check, is this country Madagascar or the Republic of Malagasy? Just a clarity on that. The fact that Lesotho was able to resolve the problems through the ballot also needs much to be applauded. And I just hope that this good story can even filter into Swaziland, which is also part of the region. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I hope Swaziland is listening. Honorable Rakuti.
Thank you very much, the Ambassador and the Minister and the Chair. You know, I really want to congratulate the role South Africa is doing across the globe. And I'm really humbled that I was also part of an observer mission in Botswana. And some of the things shared away, they are really exaggerated. It happened that I attended all the campaigns of the different political parties, and they got fair coverage. I went to all these political parties' campaigns, and some of the things that were reflected here, we know that that masculine people, you know, talking about each other and that, but you know, to score some points, but that was not what. That was there. There was a lot of fairness in Botswana. Because, you know, this negativism and talking ill about each other, you know, as political parties. But really in Botswana, I saw, you know, that unity. And I'm really humbled that I was part of that observer mission. And I was proud that I'm part of it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Kenya.
Thank you, Sir. Thank you, Ambassador Michila, for the information we got today for our country, the SADC region. As I understand that, we say that most of them, of the elections were peacefully, but I was peaceful with CNC. I'm so peaceful, but I'm concerned about Madagascar, where, and I said that it's a multi-political situation that is fragile, and looking at the risk of the resource countries. Now, that also tells us that in South Africa, as we are targeting peacekeeping missions, there's a role to play, there's a much role to play to see that this country. Doesn't go back, even though elections were free, but that there is this problem of these churches that have got a monopoly, monopolizing the reconciliation process, which to my understanding that is going to create problems for Madagascar. I'm also thinking about the issues raised by stakeholders in Namibia on the issue of the Amended Act, the Organizational Amendment Act, and also the New Drug Act, who they hurried. Now, on observation, on the point, getting observation, I don't see that as a matter of urgency, because to my understanding, that may create problems. Also, if you say that the act, although we say that the let will be fair, but that problem of stakeholders convening about the act which we have it. And lastly, that's what we said, Dr. Martini, is on the issue of the old voters' role. Now I'm concerned about youth, because to my understanding, we've got youth that graduate every year to the adults, and then have got now are able to be eligible to vote.
Mm-hmm.
That's a small question. What happened to the youth of the if the old voters' role was youth in voting? Yes, I understand the issue of the deceased, because he has been removed from the voters' role. There's no problem. But then what about those who are coming in, like the youth of the country? But how were they accommodated the young people who are there for, who are ready to vote that in that country, go to their other states?
I'm amazing.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks for the report from the ambassador, and thanks for the Deputy Minister to recognize that the EFF is indeed a government waiting. I think it's a proper Deputy Minister. Now, Chair, I think in general the report is very positive. We as the continent in Africa would like to get such positive reports. Although I must say that there is a lot to be done in order to get it correctly. Especially those things that the ambassador has raised in the photo, those key things that you raised, media reform. I think it's also here in, when we are going to elections, even here in South Africa, we do fight with voting. Saying you're giving a lot to the ruling party, we as an EFF, we're the largest party as well. You don't, you know, those things of politics, they have to get it there slowly by slowly. But I have to disagree with you when you talk about resources. You make an example of South Africa that has such a system. If you remember very correctly, Chairperson, we took IEC to court at EFF because we're not in parliament by the time, but we expected to pay a large sum in order to register. And we said no. The system in South Africa is not allowing other political parties who are not financially stable. So I think we are making a very important observation. That the political party can't participate in elections if you don't have money. So it's a very important one. Maybe it should be, on behalf of SADC, it must be raised in a similar form. The issue of the voters' role. I don't know the SADC plans, because in some of the reports you are saying after elections they have to go back to your original countries and continue with the work. But my suggestion will be that we have to have a clear plan as SADC or as AU, because we have to intervene. And those things must not be part and parcel of our problems when we go to elections everywhere, in the country, outside the country as well, because those things collapse elections. We must make it clear with IEC, because they must get it right. You know, even if you go to the conferences of social organizations, the issue of credentials are very critical. Once you don't have your credentials correctly, that conference collapsed. So it's the same issue with the voters' roll. You can't be saying you don't have a stated voters' roll on the day of election, which means you don't want those elections to continue. But generally, I think we are getting there as a continent, and we must always put our continent first, because we are the important continent. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honourable. Thank you. Honourable Kumlwana.
Thank you. I think all I can say is because everything was eaten up by a photo.
By
the is to say well done, sir. Well done to the department as well as to our leadership in this department. I just wanted to find something, a clarification on this Rama and Rama Lama Nina and President Ravalomanana, and is it still in the house arrest? Has he been? What is the attitude of President Rajanorimanambianina? That is on the Madagascar situation. I understand that you are making peace and you are doing a lot of good work. The second question is on the Wildcat observation and the worrying one in Mozambique. If now Renamo, I understand, all Renamo is now gaining ground. And I'm not sure what are the, it's worrying because it used to be not necessarily friendly with the South African forces at the time. I'm not sure now whether they have changed their attitude. Certainly, in this Lesotho, I fail to understand in Lesotho exactly what is the role of context. Is it a question of who rules? Or is there any policies that are really that makes the difference between the two political organizations? I mean, all different political organizations. If so, what is their attitude towards South Africa, basically? I understand there was one party that was actually saying that there be we'll just hear the views of the people of Lesotho in towards the, if they decide to join South Africa. It was one party that said, so I don't know whether it's part of the coalition government. And what is his position? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ngo.
Thank you very much, I do want also to thank the Honourable Ambassador for the report and also the Honourable Deputy Minister. It is indeed very encouraging to hear that report emanating from our region, because when we look at where we're coming from in terms of issues around elections, we can actually easily see that much work actually has been done and we are achieving a lot. And one can only wish that our people in the International Relations Department actually commit themselves even more so that we ultimately achieve what we want to achieve. However, having said that, my only little concern is around the issue of post-election engagement, particularly on in countries such as Lesotho and Mozambique. Because in Mozambique we hear that before the election, one party had decided to take up arms and went into the bush. I would think that there were specific issues that actually contributed to them deciding to do that. And I don't think that those issues would simply evaporate since we have had an election. So what is it that we are doing to actually engage these people even further so that a repeat of what they did actually does not happen? And I'm also, the same is true for Lesotho. I would like to know whether there is any follow-up on the issues that actually facilitated the kind of situation that we saw in Lesotho to ensure that indeed those issues do not occur again
and particularly the role of the armed forces in the future. Because it would appear that that particular issue was not resolved. It was just shelved pending the outcome of the election. What then are we going to do? The Sotho really need to have an armed force. I mean, those are the issues that we need to look at. I mean, with the adult landlord surrounded by us, the people who can actually attack the Sotho is us and nobody else. Because nobody can attack the Sotho without attacking us first. So do they really need an armed force, which is so troublesome in that effort? All of those issues need to be looked into in my view, because you are not a country because you have a defense force. No. Thank you.
Are you not the government in waiting?
Of course, actually, such that we are already having our one leg in the government.
I hope you don't become, or you should become the Minister of Defence.
Okay, NSP is there. So I still not know them.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, members, for your input. I think I have one or two things today, but I indeed must join my colleagues in, you know, overnighting yourself on this one. We want to praise department, the ministry, convey our message that we are very happy with the input that has been made. The election observation work, it's just the sheer number of the people in South Africa deployed within SADC, and the resources that it brings in both capital and human. The whole democratization process is largely because South Africa is making the kind of input that it is making. With regard to Lesotho, you wrote there, the elections reflect the will of Basotho. Now, generally South Africa would have said it reflects the will of the people. Now, would you have said the same thing about Zimbabwe? It reflects the will of the short, the 70%, and the Yamamanda there. What would you have said? I just thought that the use of the will of Basotho, and of course when you were talking about Botswana, you think the Botswana guys, the Botswana guys. I have no parallel, but I just thought in our ethnic speak or whatever it is it generally the talents that we'll use or should use because it could have been better as the will of the people of Lesotho, the people of Israel, rather than the shoes, you see, something like that. Not necessarily that I have a quarrel, I'm speaking to it. And whilst on Lesotho, post-election, maybe let me just foreground it by saying that, to the extent that I remember, the politicization of Lesotho's armed forces, particularly the army, was exported by South Africa to that country. Members will remember that the then South African government would not tolerate a Basotho government, a Basotho government led by an unfriendly government that would harbor the then so-called terrorists. So occasions therefore were made, or even encouraging the taking over of government, the coup was actually exported by South Africa then. Now, post the elections, these elections, now that we know that part of the challenges of Lesotho is the politicization of the armed forces. The army supported the deputy minister, the prime minister Mesing, and the police, prime minister Tom Tabane. Of course, now you are going to have Mosisidi. Is SADC considering a depoliticization process or professionalization process? And specifically, what is SADC's take on Kamuri. Because you see, my view is that if Musisi is going to come in, and Meding is going to come in, we are likely to reverse his deployment as an ambassador to Uganda, which is not taken. So he might come back into the armed forces. And therefore, that will be my deficit, because the junior army officer who did not like what Kamuri was doing. They want to be professional. And even Kamuri was not with everybody in doing what he was doing, because they are just a coterie of a few that think that under a government of Musisi or under a government of Meding, there are things for them. So I just thought it is a matter that you must attend to. The issue about the EVM, and I was in Namibia, you made a very good observation around that. Is India, well, I'm not sure if we should put that to the level of the beginning of India, but if any country is going to use the EVM, but it does not have the engineers, if these things jam, the people who can unjam them will have to come from India. What then is the use or the future of the EVM if it should be used in Africa or anywhere else in the world if you don't have the engineers that can be there? I think it's going to be a problem. The last one is just my own observation, and it is that if, as the Deputy Minister was saying around Mozambique, that there's been a large contingent of European Union and the Commonwealth because there is a discovery of gas fields and oil fields and other mineral forces. We all know that the negative forces that you find around the continent are in the countries that are blessed with mineral resources. South Sudan, Mali, DRC, etc., etc. Where you have formations that reject the outcome of elections. Then they are armed, then they take over a particular territory, those kind of things. And then, because Africa, then that there must be an African problem to African, African solution to African problems. But in order to give effect to that, then the African standard step by force will be created. The African asterisk. Does it mean that we may see, and I'm sorry that I'm beginning to talk about what may happen in the next 5 years in Mozambique, that if, for instance, a government not friendly to people who want to plunder the resources of that country, or at least they colonize the economy, as it were, govern those countries by stealth, kind of. So that's what happens with the mineral wealth of some of the countries. Are we going to see that kind of phenomenon emerging, or are we going to use the asterisk to ensure that at least each party must accept the elections and the will of the people of that country? Thank you. Over to you. We don't have to answer to everything, but where there were specific questions, please attend to that. Over to you, Deputy Minister.
Thank you. We'll try and cover as many of the questions as possible. And those that I don't, please speak with my PG to try and do the same. Firstly, let me thank you for your congratulations and good wishes. They are greatly appreciated. It's not easy being part of an election observer mission. We want to say that to the Honorable Rafiki and Mukhalapa, we share the pride that you feel, and we agree that it is a humbling experience. Now, Mr. Mukhalapa's raised some very crucial and interesting points. I think we need to understand that SADC doesn't run the industry. That's an important point, firstly. And we stress that when we enter the country, because we meet with all the old players, we meet with the heads of state, we meet with the domestic electoral commission opposition parties, and we stress this all the time. You're not here to run your election. There are some people who actually want you to run the election. And so it's important that you make that point. We also stress that we are there to observe the elections on the basis of SADC and African Union principles and guidelines governing elections. It's a very important point. Okay. Now, the host country knows that, and so they do their level best to ensure that they comply. Because they know that at the end of the day, we could turn around and find fault with them, which was done before, and we will no doubt do the future. I want to demonstrate why what we're doing is important, to tell you about a conversation our minister, the Honorable Gwana Mashabane, had with her counterpart in one of the countries in the north of Africa, and I hope that she doesn't take issue with me by repeating it to you. This minister said to her, please send your people to us. We see the elections in the SADC region are always peaceful. Whereas here in the north, in our country and in our region, the criteria we use to determine whether the elections were free and fair is we say, well, only 50 people died. So that tells you how far we have progressed in relation to the rest of the continent. And I hear the Honourable Khalifa saying that we need to employ more resources. Well, that may be where difficulty lies. Because one of the things that one of the observer missions, DG, said to us in Mozambique, that you guys arrived here when we arrived, and then soon after the elections you leave. So we said, yes, that's the normal practice. Yes, but you should stay here until the new government and president is sworn in. He said, yes, but you're being unreasonable. All these things cost money. All right. And so another criteria we use in observation mission is that once you arrive in the country, you don't leave. I spent the full time in Mozambique. I didn't go back home. Same with Namibia. And all that costs money. It's not just me. It's every other member of the observer mission that is required to stay there. Costs enormous amounts of money. So the question is then, how far post the election should the observer mission stay there? It's a riddle that we've not been able to solve. I'm not saying that what we're doing now is right. It's worked thus far. But we may find a situation where post-election an uprising occurs or violence breaks out. And so we've been rather fortunate and blessed in that regard that everyone involved in these elections have accepted the outcome and proceeded accordingly. Although we are watching the situation in Mozambique very closely, please bear in mind that what we do in these countries, we do on behalf of SADC. We don't do on behalf of the South African government, which is part of SADC, obviously. And so the situation both in Mozambique and Sudan is being closely monitored by SADC. And so Deputy President Ramaphosa, when he goes to the Sudan, he does so on behalf of and representing SADC. And just to answer the Chairperson Masango's question with regard to the Kamuli matter, I believe this matter will be dealt with by the new government of Lesotho, as it should be. It's not a state problem. It's a matter which the new government, after all, they've been elected. And if they've been elected, there should be enough confidence in them to resolve this matter and any other matter in the Sutu Chairperson in answer to your question about Kamuli. Kamuli matter should be dealt with by the new government, not by SADC or anyone else. And Chair, indeed, those are just some of my responses to the question and comments. I'm not sure if DD will want to add. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Just briefly, look at the issue that was raised by Mukhala. And again, thanks for many. We have a question on reform. Now, there's a problem on the whole continent. Recall this constitution was made around 1960s, 1950s. Basically, most of them taken from the guidelines of the old constitution. So that's why it's important that from time to time we need to revisit the constitution and say, is it in line with the will of the people? Is it in line with the aspirations? Is it in line? We need to modernize the constitution from time to time. And this is what has not happened in many parts of the continent. Where you find the penal codes of three colonial times in the constitution. So that is also the problem of Lesotho and other many parts of the continent. Now, what does all this mean? You know, we only don't in silent, you know. Through IEC, we do a lot of good things in the continent. And I gave them hope. See, when you start with the UN on the Western Sahara referendum, it was using the Spanish law pre our 1965. Both was wrong. Now, how many kids were born after that?
Yeah.
So it's a problem in the continent, renewing the voters law. It's not only our region. And that's why from time to time we ask the IEC to assist. We're doing the same thing in Guinea-Bissau. Now, if you look at Mali, what is the problem in Mali? Again, what's the problem? Nigeria is a good house for all. So when population works, it's always the case. What does role of South Sudan also get for them? So I think, well, remember, in the parliament, it builds a perennial problem. That's why, as we were saying, what about young people? In most of the left out, you know, they go either 21 or 18, but there's no updating, there is no campaign, even to encourage them. You know, when you move around Africa, you get surprised. Why are you guys who spend so much money for 2014 election? To encourage people to vote, because we spend, I'm very speaking. I hope I don't recall how much I see money spent around the country, just encourage those, you know, 21, 18, they try to vote. People were really surprised, you know. Why we do that? It is because they have to be reminded of their eyes, because they forget their young people. But this is not the case in the rest of the continent. When you see concerted, when you got the government putting resources to do. So, yes, as Honorable was saying, it is something that in the regional parliament or AU parliament, we really need to promote. It is costly, but it's not a democracy. And democracy. So it is one cross-cutting issue that the Muslim members have raised. That's why in countries like Belgium, I think it's compulsory to vote. You have to go and vote for citizens. So I think if we don't make such a law, but even we look into where people do a lot of work, like in our region, even many young people don't go, or they're not given the chance to vote. The second question that one of the members have raised across, the question of security. Sector reforms. Again, well, remember, it's very, very important to professionalize our security forces. Now, part of the social laws, when I was talking to the prime minister, there was a minister of security. The minister of security. So, the police, the prime minister, other prime minister, just the prime minister. Because so many of them are normally, you shield the top. No, I don't say Minister Shiva, not only because I was a military officer, but not Shiva, anybody. there's a guy, somewhere. Now, if you have that layer of accountability, then the top might get into problems. There's a temptation, of course, not only for Parliament, but to make sure that. So, part of the difference, and if you look across the continent,
We said in Mali, we said in Guinea-Bissau, we said in Madagascar, we said in the PRC, and show. What does successful reform mean? What do we say it is? First of all, you normally have people from desperate different formations, paramilitary, others in forming one. Or secondly, regions of Howland, Lutero, and Mutari, and fourth came, even the police. No, both Botswana and Lesotho. The army came from the police. So once you do that, of course the army feels a bit macho, a bit this, then so we said that you need to do something like that. The other thing that one was just afraid is a sort of national interest. Don't be surprised. What we all do, including us, in all the things, national interest. Why is this instability of SADC? Because 84% of our trade with Africa goes to SADC. So it's a huge market. So it's a stable market. And that translates share to over 180 billion rand to serve this country. So stability of SADC is good for South Africa. It's good for our economy. It's good for the region. So, international interest. When you see the European, therefore, deputy minister in Mozambique, national interest, access to office, and security. You don't go to this thing because of our Christmas. No. The national interest embedded in what you do. And so the more you invest in SADC, and we hope around ministers that when you come for a budget vote, you get more money. Most people SADC, that's for South Africa. Same continent, good for South Africa. I was saying that. In 1994, you call 1994, our total trade with Africa was 7.3 billion. Last year, 385 billion. From 11. Who's the biggest gainer? It's South Africa. We sold over 200 billion value added products to Africa. Africa runs our factories. What is value added? So, the more you invest in Africa is good for economy, good for jobs, and good for your children. So, you say, that's what I wanted to summarize.
Thank you very much. Just two things, but I still did it somewhere. You don't have to respond to that. I still did somewhere here that whereas the rest of the world can only intervene in certain countries for purposes of trade and commerce and economy for their health, we in South Africa are very general because of our diplomacy of Ubuntu. Such that in some countries we intervene, spend resources, spend this without making that translate into huge capital for the country in terms of business. In some of the countries within the continent and we don't have to respond to that. I just want to know my father to take comfort that you can become an honorable member of parliament in South Africa because of our policy about the young people. There's no lie in saying this. We had a contingent of the APRM deployees, the African Peer Review Mechanism. Most of them in their late 60s and their early 70s, grey head, tall. Now in Mpumalanga is a member of parliament to your height. Never the most person with this lady working for this committee. So, Honorable Rufilo Mashaboka said, how? This young person, you remember Parliament? And he said, yes. Are you married? And he said, no. When are you going to bring up your children? Because you have good politics. It's for all people. You're in South Africa. That's right. But you're not in South Africa. All right. Momo, you're cool. I'm here. I see you. Thank you very much. Honourable members, let's get into item number 5. That is now the prison by the department. No, it's swapping. Yes. We'll swap them. So it's special. It's briefed by the department on the performance and financial report of the third quarter of 2014-15
financial year, and a response on the questions on the performance, the financial report of the second quarter. There were already questions that were posted. You remember last time there was a presentation and there were questions. And the issues around the ARF. I will now hand over to the department. You see how you're going to make your presentation. Over to you, DJ. Yes.
There's a complaint from us because our representative did put a credit we had to ask and it's not been answered.
Oh. Oh, on Almayla, eh?
Yes.
What was the question again? You can refresh our memory.
No,
the people of Madagascar said he could just... Okay. Yours was Madagascar, eh? You were also on Madagascar. Okay. Teaching. I will come. No, because I intervened and said I'll summarize.
Yes, sir. Now, honourable member, the Prince of Madagascar says you could just call me Harry. Just call me Harry. Because this name is traumatic. He wants to just be called Harry. Now, it is called Democratic Republic of Madagascar. Democratic Republic of Madagascar. That is the official title of the name. Then the issue raised by honourable Malagasy people. It's called Malagasy people.
The people are called
Malagasy. Like Basotho in Basotho, the speak Sotho. The question asked by the, you know, the people who are sort of homogeneous everywhere, they tend to say we are this. We are Chinese. We are Japanese. Because that's not homogeneous. It has to do with our friends because they think they're homogeneous. So, but because here yeah, we specific, but not Africans. But they call it because of homogeneity factor. Now, the issue that was raised, he's not free, he's not in prison. It's a very, very interesting situation. He's a very nice sea resort house. Now he's been with a wife and children. He goes to shopping, he does everything. And he meets the president, I think, twice a week or so. But he's not in politics. I don't want to refer to him to do his work. But I'm told to live, the president lives in a very beautiful house to stay. And the president goes to him, in fact, just to him. And so it's because the base of our Manan is the reason why he's a president. The president didn't have a party. So Ravamana party voted him to be the president, although they were fighting. So I think the very good gentleman's arrangements, coexistence of some kind. So he's not in prison. But he's in house arrest, but not arrest. So he's some form of an ambiguous person. The old Malagasy is able to do that.
Thank you very much. We are going to release the deputy minister any other time maybe so feel. Over to you, department.
If you want to take one of the members through the next presentation. Thank you.
Hold on.
A presentation was made on the second quarter. Yeah. Now we need a first quarter report presentation. But there were issues that we wanted you to respond to for the second quarter. So I think that will save time. How you go about it? Over to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, for the opportunity. Good morning, Honorable Members. The report is with the continuation of the last mission. We'll then look on the financial report, which will then talk to the performance of the program within that. Now, which we have a slide on page 18, which is on the board.
Not yet. Or is yet.
So the page 18 talks about the budget, Treptococcus. So in the last quarter, the second quarter presented a budget for 5.7 billion. But after the adjustment estimate, we then received a 350 million additional. And this was for foreign exchange rate, which volatility in terms of the depreciation of the rand against the currencies that is traded in our mission abroad, then which comes to 6,104 million, which is the allocation that has been appropriated. The third quarter in terms of the projected spending was 3.9 billion and we then spent 3.8 billion, which in terms of the foreign overall program, 95 million. However, but we just want to highlight that under administration, it is our program that deals with properties abroad, which we have projects in The Hague, Dar es Salaam, as well as the London. And also we then need to pay for the leases for the panel for the parliament in the Ghana stage. So the payment of the panel for parliament is in the fourth quarter, which we need to pay in terms of the renewal of the lease. Then we have delayed, we encounter delays in terms of the project in The Hague, which we then talk about, which then indicates the spending is low. However, under program two, which is now our international relations, and international relations, that's what we have challenged. Even though we have received an additional funding for 244 million, under that program, which I indicated is 350, we have a challenge in terms of the depreciation of the rand, which was unforeseen in the third quarter. Because when we received the 350, it was on the basis of what we indicated during the adjustment estimate when we submitted our treasury memorandum based on the prevailing rate. However, the situation has worsened as we speak today. We are touching an unprecedented level in terms of the euro to the dollar exchange. So already over 12 rand to a rand every dollar, which is unprecedented, which puts more strain in the financial resources of the department in terms of how we need to achieve our objectives. So which will then affect our liquidity in terms of honoring our commitment. Then the international cooperation is basically the program that deals with our engagement at that level in terms of multilateral global affairs, as well as the program that deals with the African agenda on the AU level, which then support the programs on our level. And the public diplomacy, we close a low spending that is recorded for the third quarter. This has to do with the work that we have done for presidential inauguration, which we have partner department that they spend in terms of the work that we do in terms of providing protocol services, in terms of the VIP for police, as well as the work that is done by presidency in terms of how we then manage that. But we are following up on the payment that must be done, which some will make progress in the fourth quarter. And the other area that Honorable Chair, which is not here in the report there for the third quarter, is the transfer fees. This is one of the areas that we challenge in terms of our membership contribution to the AU as well as the UN. But in that, because the payment was due in the fourth quarter, most of them, so that we can service the area that we needed. But the other part that we projected is the area in terms of the recapitalization. So that money we delayed in terms of the payment. The challenges that we have with the foreign exchange rate movement. So the bottom part is just the area in terms of compensation. Compensation of employees, this is the area that attracts. So in terms of the spending, we've spent 3 billion 900 million, which equates to 3.6% of the appropriated amount. So the cost level that we want to highlight to the honorable members in terms of the foreign exchange rate that it takes our operations. is the compensation of employees, which relates to the cost of living allowance that is paid to transferred officials, as well as the local level green staff, which include salaries and other benefits that are accrued to the staff which are serving abroad. With the services, we've got operational expenditure that are committed, which is operating leases for the chancellery, which is our office, abroad, 426 missions, as well as the residences for the excellencies, which are the ambassadors, as well as the staff that are supporting that. So we have contracts that we signed, and we need to pay at a particular point in time. In most cases, we pay this in advance, which is 1 year in advance, in terms of the market there, especially in the continent, where we don't have a lot of options in terms of how we service that. And the other benefits that relate to the schooling allowance, as well as the services that we provide for the upkeep of those houses in terms of maintenance. As I indicated, Honorable Chair, we talk about the transferring subsidies, which is the recapitalization of the African Advancement and Liberation Corporation Fund, the ARF, as well as the assessed contributions, which are in the AU, UN, as well as the SADC, and including the Commonwealth. All these membership are payable in foreign currencies. The majority of them is in dollars. Only the Commonwealth will pay in pounds, which is more expensive in terms of our retention. So we want to report in terms of our projected spending when we do our calculation that we invest that will then have a shortfall of 194 million, which we have advised Treasury in terms of that challenge. However, as the process of budget planning has already concluded for the 2014-15, so we want to have an avenue to then cover that, because the adjustment estimate process will only receive 350 million. In our report, we have recorded more than 500 million based on what we see the trend that is prevailing. So we don't have the mitigating factor. So as I indicated, the implication is that some of the commitment that we have made in terms of our operation, as we also highlighted, for the subject of those missions that we've been attending, which was not necessarily part of our program, which we need to manage, as most of the elections were not planned as per the agenda of the SADC. So we want to submit to the committee that the challenge that we face, or the risk that we face with the liquidity of the settlement, has been an impact in terms of our reputation as a country if we can't meet our obligation. If we, another number, if we have challenges of meeting our income obligation, means that we then attract the risk of department being taken to court, because the creditors will then require that all the money that need to be paid by a particular date are need honored. So that is the part which, in this instance, the initial fall, if indeed it is realized, then it will constitute an unauthorized expenditure to the department, which we have engaged Treasury on this. But unfortunately, in terms of the settlement that we have, the department has interest in revenue to look into financial instruments, because they also have also risk in terms of that. But the comfort that they provide is that the rent is not performing well, the current reserve that Reserve Bank realizes are no greater than what we are experiencing as a department. So we wanted to indicate that. So this is the table that shows the impact of the foreign exchange. To say, in terms of our budget, we prepare our budget in 2014-15, which was approved here. We then indicated that we require that about $170 million to service our operation, and the euro 65 million euros, and British pound 5 million, and the Japanese yen, as well as the Swiss francs. We just indicated the major currencies that we then trade with. And we still have other impact in terms of the global economy, in terms of the, if you look at the renminbi, it's performed much better than it was last year. so we are also incurring some challenges. So when we allocated, so the budget that we allocated in pensions, because then voted in, is 2.6 million. So this is where we started. But with the current exchange rate, the average spot rate, he said that based on it means our budget should have been augmented to 3.1 billion, which will only receive 350 million. And indeed, the projected shortfall, which is not covered, is 194 million. This is an estimate in terms of the third quarter. So we will have a greater impact in terms of the fourth quarter, because the rent has not performed well since the devaluation. So, Narutu members, this is what we're saying, that will result for an unauthorized expenditure, which is 130%. And this is consistent, 10%, which is not a good picture, with what we reported in the 2013-14 financial year. We had an unauthorized expenditure as a result of this, what we call the rank, which is weakening. Because we had assumed that after the election, in terms of the market indicators, trend was then improved, which was the trend in the previous years, which we have witnessed. But unfortunately, this is the picture that we are sitting with here. So, members, we just want to report, as you recall, that in 2013-14 financial year, we received a qualification on assets, and we made a commitment to say these are issues that we then need to focus, to say which, in terms of the asset portfolio that the department, but it includes immovable assets, which is around about 137 assets portfolio that we have abroad, consisting of offices, which is our chambers, officials, residences, and staff accommodation. And we also have assets in the category of movable assets, which is major. And we then distinguish that in terms of the economic value, over 5,000, as well as the which consists of motor vehicles, office and domestic furniture, as well as domestic equipment. And we also have movable assets which are minor in category, which is with the economic value of less than 5,000 rand. So these are the domestic furniture, office and domestic equipment, all the visual and other advertising services in terms of what we need to maintain, as well as intangible assets which consisting of software, application, and patent. So, Chairperson and members, we have then indicated in terms of how many assets do we have to quantify those assets. Say, under immovable assets, we've got 135, which now, in terms of location, is 94, and the custodians of that, which we have then implemented, say, who is responsible for maintaining those assets, is 35, and the trial failure of that portfolio is 5 billion, not 5 million, it's 5 billion, 126 million. That is the asset portfolio on the immovable property. Then movable property, asset major, we've got 21,810, and in terms of location, 5,175, and the custodian, we've got 3,122, and the sale value for that is 667 million in terms of the assets. And intangible asset is 44. Number of assets that is recorded, and we've got four number of locations as they are more IT related. So, and we have custodian which are safe, and we've got transfer of 27 million. And movable, minor, which is where we have challenges in terms of the category, there are many. The minor, there are many, more than the major. So we've got 145,912. This is the major asset in terms of count, asset count that we have, which is minor category. And the location, the multiple location, 8,178. And we've got custodians of 4,347. And by the value of that, is 131 million, so which is not shows that a small item that we need to manage, and they've got high risk in terms of managing, because they move there's a lot of movement out there. So the total assets portfolio in terms of the number is 167,000, and then the location is 13,000, and the total number of custodians that are responsible, appointed to oversee that these assets are safeguarded, as regarded is 7,747, and the total value of that asset portfolio is 5,952,000,000. So the challenge that we encounter, Honorable Member, was based on the existence and completeness. To say the hotels, they went to few missions or locations, and they were not able to find those assets on the floor. Similarly to completeness, in terms of our asset register, we found that there were no consistencies in terms of the values that were put in terms of the completeness of asset register, which, or they find the asset on the floor, which is not on the asset register. So those are the issues that they've identified. And based on that, they arrived at the conclusion to say, as this was a matter that has been reshaped, they will not give us any benefit of the doubt that all the assets are indeed accounted for. So then they then conducted what we call extrapolation. And so if we find an error in the mission, that in terms of a sample of 20 missions, so if like the percentage is 40, then they use the whole population of 125 missions to say your assets are not in good order, so you should then give us a proof which is honest, that we can say indeed you have done what you call asset physical verification. So what we have implemented on our members is that we then said we should then come up with a clear approach to say we then the accounting was set up with her team, which consisted by three audit committee members to provide an oversight, and the members who were providing, who are currently the committees in existence, which the CFO, the senior managers within finance and supply chain, provide information to that committee. How are we moving around that? Then we then develop a turnaround asset strategy. See, this is how we should then focus on those areas of the list of assets that we've identified. How do we turn it around? And then we then look at the asset position of life. So if the custodians that are appointed, they should be in a position to do certain things in a routine manner. And with that, we then had to workshop this manual. We invited all the corporate service managers that are stationed in 125 missions to then take us through to say what, and then get a commitment from them to say this is what they're going to be doing on a regular basis to see the asset register is indeed is credible and able to give the detailed information. So the head office was also appointed. We then decentralized the management of that, because initially it was centralized within supply chain. We then appointed asset controllers of the head office, which are the personal assistants to the managers of the head office, so that they can be able to manage it better. And then we then enforced one of the issues to use electronic system, which is our verification. So all our members, as we can, if we say here, we do, the next slide we see in terms of the assets that we have verified with the scanner, which is one of the assurances we have now this time around verified. We do have exceptions which we are dealing with that. So the exception that we are implementing consequence management, because that is the part that we need to do. But what we have also taken note on our members is that if there's someone who is not doing their part, we then intervene, but there should be consequences, because they are appointed to do a particular work, but if they're not doing that, we should see how we then recover that. So this is part of the quality assurance that we also put in place, and then we can decentralize the management of the asset register in terms of the maintenance, which talks to completeness. When the asset moves, there should be a record that is kept, so which is done through our web browser system, which is all custodians they have access, and it's their responsibility, which ends up very accountable if there is some discrepancies within the asset register, within their custody. So I'm not going to share this for the African writers. I think there were questions that we asked. If we can go through that quickly. So now we share the African writers. I think there's a lot of issues that were raised in the annual report, which we committed to see. This is a commitment that the department is committing. On the third quarter, that we've put in our annual strategic plan, the APP, was that we won't have 100% of all requests reserved be implemented through the advisor committee. So in that, in terms of performance, the first proposal that we process within the advisory committee, which we want to report that the report time that we used to complain about in terms of the concurrence has improved, but there's still room for more improvement in terms of how we respond to that. In the period, we had two meetings that were held, and we also had an ad hoc meeting. So we're more structured approach in how we deal with the matter of the DRF. One of the issues that I indicated in terms of efficiency was the governance or the governance issue, which we then said in terms of disbursement, this man that was done, in terms of the project that would have been there, we considered all of it. Then this is the humanitarian assistance, these are the objectives that we then look in terms of that. All the proposal that was presented were indeed considered and the correct or appropriate decision was taken around that. Same capacity building. Well, now, remember, for the period that you are reporting that the ARF in terms of its budget, that at the end of the financial year, because it's an entity, it retains its surplus as part of recapitalization. So it doesn't operate as the department where at the end of the day you then return unsent funds to treasure. So the surplus that was accumulated was 1.8 billion. And the appropriated amount for the current year, which is 2014-15, is 237. But within that, you've got commitment, because we have projects that are multi-year. So they are not necessarily a project that must be dispersed now, and we forget about that. So one of the projects that are running in terms of the work that we do. So we've got existing project which worth 581 million. And the approved project for disbursement in the current year is 189 million. So in terms of what is available, it's 1.3 billion in terms of the period that we are reporting, which is not committed, which we will be able to take on new projects in terms of the work of the ARF. So in terms of the approved project for that we refer to, the humanitarian assistance for South Sudan, 15 million. Humanitarian assistance to drug relief for Namibia, 100 million. And the humanitarian assistance to Palestine for 11 million. And the humanitarian assistance that were provided to South Sudan response, this government, to Ebola, the virus, was then 32 million, which was then a pledge or by the Department of Health. So this, that is the money for South Africa's response to that. And also the pledge from South Africa to the AU-led international support mission to the Central African Republic, which is 11 million. So these are the money that was allocated. And in addition, this is the money that, based on the elections that were not shared, based on the request or resolution from SADC to say we need to increase the fund, which was after the budget. So the ARF was able to augment the budget for the certain contribution to SADC by 70 million for election observation mission, so which is the additional amount, and also for the mediation support that we provided to Kingdom of Lesotho for peace processes, which is 30 million, and also for the South African contribution in terms of observation that we had in the previous presentation, that when we send the South African delegation, which include Parliament, this is the money that was set aside for that purpose. So as we committed honorable chair in terms of the governance issues that were raised in the annual report, one of the issues was the risk assessment that was not conducted. And we can report that we have done that in the last financial year, and we already finished one for risk assessment for the process for 2015-16. So we are in compliance now. We also develop terms of reference for the advisory committee as well as for the secretariat. And we can report to the honorable chair and honorable members that for the first time we have a dedicated staff that is full time working on the matters of ARM. So we have overcome that challenge, and we do have the internal audit in terms of doing their audit. We have the team that is doing that. And we also adopted, the ARF has adopted the policy through a framework that is applicable to ARF process in terms of the DECO. So what we've done, which was presented to the audit committee, which they have duly approved. And then we came with the secretariat, and we also tabled our annual business plan as well as strategic plan on time, because in the past we were not able to do that, which becomes a finding, which we have addressed that. So, thank you, Honorable Chair. We can then go to some of the questions that were raised in the last briefing that we had in terms of the. We have the documents here with us in terms of the work that was done.
The issue of one of the issues that was raised was really regarding the ICT infrastructure of the department, which.
How does it? Do you have that document?
A bunch of reforms, so that one of the bugs can look at the question and the report.
Okay.
The CFO will continue where he left. Unless you want to.
No. When I take these things, I just.
Oh. Relax. It's already a fool, you never know.
Now,
please.
Yeah, yeah.
So, something you want to hear, then go on a blue chair, one of the members. We have a technology response from the ICT on a blue chair. This was the issue that we. And challenges around in terms of the ICT in terms of infrastructure. Currently, shall we have able to roll our computers to me? And the last part that we are currently doing is to then finalize the to implement a more faster wide area network in terms of connectivity, so that the department will be able to respond within the appropriate time. So we have then a strategy around this in terms of dealing with the issue of improvement. So that's one of the issues that was problematic in terms of the ICT infrastructure. So we have done that in terms of the issue, and also invested on training of the ICT staff so that they can be able to acquire the relevant skills in terms of the current technology that we are using. So that is the one, the development. But we continue to then invest on ICT in the coming financial year in terms of our server, the workroom environment, in terms of the server,
so that we can then incorporate the new technology that is available in the market. So that is the part of the ICT. As I indicated, the issue, the other question was on the assets, which we have touched on the presentation, where we are in terms of that. But we want to emphasize that we are dealing with the issue of non-compliance, which we feel that that is the part that was also working on our part in terms of how we deal with the issue of consequence management. Then the part of the feeling of vacancy, what we want to report, Honorable Chair, as we were busy with the process of functional, organizing functional assessment.
That's on that. This concept, consequence management,
yeah,
is a standard challenge for the rest of government.
Yeah.
It's called that way.
Yeah.
You are too English, you know. Mm-hmm. I've come to them in direct. More direct, I know. Okay, right.
Yeah. So this is the way that we share, that we learn from Ultra General. So this is what they indicate as a competence that we need to manage from our HR perspective. Yeah. So if we look at the filling of vacancies, the area of vacancy we didn't do well, our target was to fill the vacancy within 4 months. Within the period of the department, embarked on a process of organizational functional assessment as one of the pilot departments in government to embark on that exercise. That had a bearing in terms of filling the position, because we didn't want the present situation where you have people who are in the service, when the new structure is approved, then we need to then start to engage in a process where we need to release certain people, which will then accrue a lot of challenges in terms of financial education as well as staff morale. So that is the area that we also delayed. We didn't achieve our target based on that. But we made some progress in key positions, because we didn't put a moratorium about field position. But key positions that had a bearing in order to increase our performance, that we have managed to fill in some instances with 3 months. So we have statistics from HR that we then did that. Then the issue of the reporting security protocol for LRPs. Honorable Chair, just want to report that one of the areas that we've identified as a risk or a threat in terms of how we are positioning now is the recruitment of local staff, which basically it then exposes, because in some way or the other they will then have to be closer to sensitive information, even though we have measures that are in place. But by virtue of the fact that they are a good association with our embassies, they have an opportunity to have privileged information. But the current model that we use is that we have two types of locally recruit personnel. We recruit from locally, from the host country. If you go in China, you then have the staff that will be recruited from China. But we then insist that we need to get a security report, which we will still get from the Chinese government, as it were, and then that we use. But our approach says that we need to focus on recruiting more of South African nationals, so that we then have a handle in terms of how this information is managed. Mm-hmm. But we have already commenced in terms of implementing that. But then what the challenge that we encounter is the issue of how to lay off the current existing local request staff that has been appointed for quite some time. So that is the engagement that we also looking at, and look at the financial implication, how will that manage that process. But our approach, when there are vacancies in missions, we then prioritize to say we appoint South nationals, because all South nationals, they then get a proper security fitting for our state security. So which is the process that we want to follow in terms of dealing with the issue of the security for the locally recruited personnel, especially with the position of the driver. But we have challenges in areas that are very remote in terms of different. So that is the protocol that we are using.
I mean, another part was the issue of public diplomacy. How do we then increase our awareness? Chairperson, we have existing platforms that we currently use. One of the platforms that we try to popularize our is one platform which is a diplomatic fair, which we host annually, which we make it a big event. But we do have our Ubuntu Radio, which is growing, and I think in the few months it will be on the DSTV, okay, so that can be outreach. So we're busy trying to also live or form partnership with the community radio so that they can have access to our information in terms of that. But that is the long term that we are looking at. But we do have public participation programs which the ministry manages in terms of outreach programs, which we do it on a monthly basis, based on the program of the ministries, the minister and deputy minister committee. So it's one of the areas that we try to do. The last event that we did in the department was the March 8th, we went to VAR in terms of that particular activity, so which we feel that is a success as part and parcel of social responsibility. So just to add that we do continue in our media briefing week in terms of discussing the tropical issues that are available.
I think also Chair has been very active in the area of UN peace. I'm sure from time to time you read quite a lot in the newspapers in the area of UN peace. So there's been a lot of requests from especially students, academics, what are you doing? So for the first thing maybe to write so that they have an access through various media. Very also active on the social media, do quite a lot in social media. So it's been an access. So this is one of the information that has been accumulated over years or available because of our mission. So that's one area that we normally make sure that you know, our info put our principles to use. So you see the last time we started to have the Ubuntu Awards, and part of that was able to recognize that there are so many very important actors in the international scene. Part of this was to also encourage our companies. As they go there, they should do what it is in Africa in terms of good governance, in terms of producing all those countries. Mm-hmm. And musicians, remember, they don't know how much impact musicians have in terms of marketing South Africa. So we are not sure through Ubuntu Awards, to encourage this participation. Actors, singers, writers, sports, you know. How much for Cheers, Springboks, Bafana Bafana, that are those people to lose, but how much these are, they really open up quite a lot. They are ambassadors, they do quite justice as well. So we thought that, let's recognize all these players when they did our show as an African and they raise the flag. So that's why you saw this Ubuntu Awards. It was even annual event. So as honorable members of parliament also go outside, articulate. They will also organize you as you go out to travel. I know sometimes some of you go to the ACP, you go to SADC, you go to Commonwealth Planetary Forum. All is quite a very important work. So what I said is, it's not only are you there for, you are just a coordinator of these important actors in the international environment. We hope that these few things will encourage more and more South Africans to use all whatever platform, wherever they are, to market their country, so that we give us the abilities of partnerships, marketing, and friendships around the world. So this was a response to some of the things that we reflected on the issue of the committee meeting of 20th of August, 15th of
October, no, October, and then 5th of November. Okay, these are some of the things that you raised. Thank you.
Thank you, DJ, and thank you very much, DJ Ramashab. I will be DJ. So, therefore, at DJ level, why will I say the moon? By the way, DG, indeed, let's congratulate the department for the inaugural Ubuntu Awards. I had the privilege of being invited. Was it by the presidency? I think it was by the president or the department. It was by the department. Yeah, and the department, the president was handing over the awards. The standard was very, very high. You hear some memos from my colleagues here. I think next year, well, not many in this committee. Yeah, given the number of people that were there, we can fill in about 2 tables. Well, not many, but you got to spread out the network. Yeah, but the point I was making, we're here at the TTICC. No, the awards were very, very good. It was built throughout the country, and I hope you targeted Africa, because the ambassadors of all the countries were here, and the ambassadors from Africa were here. They just saw, our old friend of the Imperial. Yeah, it was good, Members, I want to head over to you now. We had planned that at least by 1:30 we must be done, so that we can have lunch. But we may solicit a little bit earlier, depending on engagements. I'm going to start at the corner there with Honorable Mpumlwana, followed by Honorable Pakuti.
I thought Chairperson, you're going to give us a guidance, because as far as I remember, on our last meeting, the department came and did the presentation, and we didn't engage with them. We said, no, on the next meeting, we're going to engage them on the presentation they made. I thought maybe you're going to give us a guidance to say, just combine all the presentations that we made in order for us to engage them. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Remember, the other matters are right from the second quarter already was presented. So if your matters arise from the end, if these matters that we're engaging on, the ICT, the local recruited people, and all of those, you can still match, you can still say something about that. Then the other presentation was in the third quarter report. That is now your October, November, December 2014 report. And they will then come back next time to give us a fourth quarter report, which will be January, February, March 2015, which is the last quarter report about their financial data, their expenditure, the challenges, and all. Honorable Mluana, your hand was up. I noticed that put it, I looked at the other hand.
Thank you. Mine is a minor thing, not really related to finances. But I'm just worried about the question of technology in employment of foreign nationals. 3 questions that are. One is that what percentage of foreign nationals must give in your employer? And secondly, in what position? And I think the problem of drivers, for example, is very serious, very crucial push. It gets to know what's going on. In fact, even speakers are always getting some information. This was very good. Try information out. But I just wanted to worry about that, because that comes. This is where in Espanish West, Norway, and the counter is a. Thank you.
Thank you. Rapunzi?
Yeah, thank you for the presentation. On the issue of who will do our check, I did see the invitation, but it was just in on our pigeon holes, but it was not no follow up. I think in future an SMS must be sent to us to say that I've really questioned us and then to be aware. And I saw them on the TV and I think it was just super. And the criteria, we just want to check if you can give us forms so that we can be able to nominate people out there and to be able to receive the kind of awards. And then all the Ubuntu radio, which channel, if you can just ask the channel, 702 or what, so that we can, 95.7, so that we can be able to, you know, for social cohesion in our constituents. And I really want to thank Udineo. Udineo managed to really to plot. We have the, you know, thank you very much, Udineo, so that we can be able to see how much we as South Africans we are doing on the international platform. You know, we can see it. I think you've got that, mate. I asked Chair. And then on the issue of...
You should have used the township lingo that you use earlier on. It's a Tabangan.
It's a Tabangan. It's a Tabangan. It's a Tabangan. It's a Tabangan.
It's a Tabangan. It's a Tabangan. It's a Tabangan.
Okay, I'm sorry, and then I just wanted to check CEO, the value of properties that we are having, how much are they, how much is the value of each, you know, the way to run the we must be able to know in each mission, how much is the value of that, in Washington, we want to know how much is the property, whether we own or whether we are renting. If you can give us, but even not today, because I can see it's a amount of time. If you've got, you can give us. And when we are renting, whether is it value, driven or not, so what can we do if quickly? And the membership is, how much are we paying African Union, United Nations, SADC, Commonwealth? If you can really, how long is the membership? For how long are we in a representative in those organizations? I see that we have spent the variance of -194. Do we have contingent fund in order to help this, you know, minus, that is it allowed so that we can be able to have that contingency? And yes, we welcome the risk management and fraud management thing, but also on the asset management, it should also be form part of performance management. It will be a business of every manager to ensure that the assets are correctly increased. So it will form part of asset. I'm also giving solution. I don't just come in and talk and talk. I also give some solution on some other issues. The internal auditors, I think they must also be addressed with issues of, you know, when you audit, the internal auditors, they must also audit those assets that we are having. And if we can get it, I don't know the marketing, so that we should not find ourselves, you know, ringing. I thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me acknowledge the progress that has been done. Since our meeting of the 20th of August and the response that has been given, particularly with the issues of ICT, because of DG, I think ICT will assist us in managing our information flow and communication, and I think in some way can assist us in our communication with our diplomatic corps and as well as CAD corps when necessary. So I think it's commendable that the ICT is being worked on. And the issue of foreign currency fluctuations that we've always been saying, you've got to engage treasury and see how you balance it out, because of the balancing act, we do understand that it's critical because it goes on the daily fluctuation. And I'm happy also, Chair, to note that you remember at the Head of Missions Conference, you had a meeting with the Head of Missions about the LRTs, and I think that there is progress there. And the Foreign Service Code, is it now in operation? Is it operating? There is still some fiscal challenges when it comes to fiscal verification of asset registry, and I think you have to work on that one. And on the economic diplomacy, Chair, I think we note the bilateral visits that are there and the high-level visits, but I think we want to see more commercial benefits when it comes to this. Our economic diplomacy should be escalated to ensure that we got domestic benefits, especially when it comes to the bilateral engagement, because that's where you can yield more reward for our domestic imperatives. And let me just also ask you on the status of the white paper on the foreign policy. What is the current status of that white paper? On the ARF, I know you had an engagement with SOPA last week, with COPA last week, especially on the ARF. Is there progress in terms of governance of the ARF and this advisory structure? How is it compiled? I see you've given us names of who is there and everything, but how does it work and how do we choose which humanitarian activities or assistance we're going to assist moving forward? Because we've got a surplus of 1.8 billion, so it shows that we're not spending the money as much as we should. But as you know, the issue with the committee was following the money to see whether these projects are actually implemented on the ground. And that is always the challenge that we have. We only rely on the desktop that you send us to say this is what we've done there. And I think the question David raised as COPA was, who is accountable? Is it the recipient country or is it us as the donors in that? And I think once we get around that on who's accountable and who's doing the reporting from the receiving country, to us as the donating country to also assist. And I welcome the issue of the full-time auditor working on the ARF. I think it also assists the secretariat appointed for a 6-month period. Is it for the transition to SAFA or is it, and I'm going to see SAFA having a permanent secretariat. And linked to the issue of the white paper is the issue of Ubuntu Radio, because the committee felt that there is not much promotion of the white paper on Ubuntu Radio. So I guess maybe once you've highlighted the data of the white paper, then you will be able to engage moving forward on how do you move forward on this one. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there new hands? Okay. Kenya, followed by Nathan.
Thank you, everything. Thank you for the approach. Yes, still now, yes, it's clear now, I mean, I'm clear that now we are really, the asset register has been studied, the problem with the asset register has been taken into consideration. Noting that also we all research how many are they where are they now? And I said that now you have taken your feet to that level. And also you have appointed an asset controller in head office. That also shows progress. As we say, we are moving away from the IRF. We are letting the playing field there to be. We are letting the playing field. But the time to check that you have this full-time committee members of audit. The time to check if they are going to be absorbed when by cyber, or they are just temporary for the time being now that the ARTF scheme is still continuing this program. Also, yes, also we have made progress in two positions on vacancies. But if we can just have we can also know the vacancy rate. As much as we can, maybe if we can get a table, we can see a tablet, it would be better. If we have tabulated and that we know the vacancy rate, and what, yes, I understand that we are talking about the key positions, but we are also concerned about other positions. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Our next then. Okay. Thank you. First of all, the department has on problem number one, that 45 vacancies filled. The question that will arise is then, out of how many vacancies? What was the target? And also, if you put down on program number one as well, the department also tells us about the 74 training programs, of which 4 to international participants. Again, I think the department is going to tell us about 45 vacancies. I think it would be good to say, out of 100 vacancies, we need to be 45. This is my number one. So under program number two, annual target is constructed by the sort of mechanism. Only 24 achieved. Also, there is no clarity in terms of out of 34 that was targeted. We could see how far you're going to take, what happened with them. It said goes with the 35 high level visit as well. The numbers there when you go down. And when you go to problem number two chair, I just want to get clarity because the only statement made by the department is the 22 structured by the several 18 high level visit with violent countries. With outcome that includes blah 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 blah. But when you go to details and look at the report, it's only talks about 4 countries, which is Turkey, Mexico, Germany, and Czech. I think we also, because we like to get more information and to understand what is happening here, we also have to get the clarity. What about the others? Because you tell us about 22, but 24 that do appear in your report. When you go to the last number 35, let me just say it. A progress on action plan. It also makes me to be worried, Chipperson, because it says the lack of operation policies and procedures. How do we address this? We can't have this lack of progress in our department because it will have an impact on our progress as we are playing our role. And the lack of capacity on the ARF secretariat, including monitoring and evaluation unit, temporarily established a permanent secretariat for 6 months. Also, I think we need to get a focus report to how far, how are we going to address this? Because I'm sure if we talk about the African Renaissance role, we need to be effective and have those things in place. Thanks, Chief, for now.
Thank you, Honourable Magdalene. Honourable Mwango.
Well, thank you, I just wanted to get some clarity on the issue of immovable assets. I can see that it's been enumerated, but I don't see land. I just want to find out whether we do own land in these foreign nations or we leave it. What's the situation about the issue of land? And also, I see that we actually made some humanitarian assistance to the Palestinian women and children, which was good. what does that do to our role as actually in our mediation role in the conflict, the thing that no mention is made of the Israeli women and children who may also have been affected in this 50-day war? Does it not compromise our role then? And that's the second question. The last one is the issue of how do you share your resources and facilities, if I may ask, between DECO and defense, because I know that defense may be having their military attaches outside of these borders. Do you share facilities and resources with them? If so, in what way? And the last one is, is there any possibility of this committee to also exercise its oversight role on these particular assets that are being mentioned in this country? Because I'm only seeing them on paper. We cannot actually vouch and say that indeed these assets are there. And I see a lack of our, there is a grey area there as far as oversight is concerned. Thank you.
Very much. Honorable Maila closes it.
Okay, so thank you very much, Chairperson. No, Chairperson, I want to start by welcoming the report and also to commend the department for being responsive to the committee as well as to the Auditor General. It shows that we are likely to move in the right direction. I also want to commend the department on how they were able to respond to the issue of the asset register, because there was just one grey area we should focus on one thing. But the last thing, Chairperson, I want to re-emphasize what was mentioned by Honorable Khalab on how we monitor the implementation of the funds that we donate to other countries. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Maila. From me, just a few things. Certainly, that will be the white paper. Did I ask this question before? Do you want to graduate this paper into an act? Is it correct to do so? You know why? Because a few weeks ago, Honorable Fasten himself hosted the European Union, and they said it's a courtesy call. The courtesy call was loaded with so many substantive matters, including our take on the elections in Lesotho, Swaziland, the development there, Zimbabwe, Namibia, stability in the DRC, Mali, South Sudan. All of this were out of a courtesy call to the two of us. The things that were raised in the National Development Plan, including the white paper. And of course, there were issues from us around the trade deficit against South Africa and the European Union. But I'm not going to recast the engagement. The point I'm making, which is they have read the white paper. And in their view, they felt that were focused largely on Africa and then on the South-South relations and cooperation. And one of them actually felt that Russia was not sufficiently South, was not very much South. And yet we are working with them and China. That's how you could see that this response by the United States on the U.S.-Africa summit. I don't get into that. But my view is whether it's correct for a country, and are there lessons internationally for a country
to have an International Relations and Cooperation Act, to which your citizens and even other countries can hold you accountable to. But you have said with the United Nations, this is about the same. What happens when there are new things emerging? On public diplomacy, I think you've done good work around this area. I'm looking at the areas. It's about 8 of them. No, I think it's quite a commendable work. The only weakness, and it's not only a weakness, it's all departments, including Parliament, is that we say, here is this information only if you know English. And therefore, if it is in TV and the publications and magazines, the Ubuntu magazines and others, in other words, it speaks to the new class. It does not make us work with our general, our citizens at the lowest level. And I was once in a workshop where it was communications workshop, where it was indicated that for communication, newspaper, yes, roughly 20% people get. If you go on TV, you can say about 80% of the range. But if it's radio, it's actually 99%. Because so many people listen to that, even as they try, it's much easier actually. But newspapers, they have to buy that they're in English. Even then, information is edited. They want things like that. So, it's going to be a recommendation as well that in public diplomacy, there are issues that you can use as a department. And indeed, ourselves as Parliament, communicate in Parliament so that we work with the population need or the good work that we're doing. Which must also depend in national pride and other things. So I'm not sure if you are going to consider doing that. For instance, if you have a group in the department that is targeting the social media, and this is which media? Is it Twitter? Is it Instagram? Is it Facebook? And also, our tool that makes it, I'm not with it in an area, in 8 million subscribers, Twitter is about 6. But that's now about 7 months ago. Probably the numbers are higher. So you need to target these numbers where they are most. Okay. And when I talk about indigenous languages, there's going to be need both on the side of the department and even on our side ourselves to take public diplomacy through the indigenous languages. We know that we've got a group of languages as classified as Sotho, Tswana, Sepedi, and what? Tswana, Sepedi, North, Tswana, Sepedi, Sotho. These are Sotho languages. And then you've got four that are called Boni, Xhosa, Ndebele, this is Zulu, the Swati. Tshivenda and Tshitsonga, let's follow.
They are far
from Guni and Sotho. Manje ke bona etiji ka pele tsa ba le mahlo manje. Can someone who's a better call in trouble with your language itself? Can you assist?
Not Rachel, because I'm Shangan, but we fall more on Guni. We're classified under Guni, not necessarily from the children, both of you.
Then Chivenda has a lot of Shona, I'm told. Okay, but that's not the end. No, the point I'm trying to make, which is both for Parliament and for the Department,
maybe when we have to talk to our people about certain matters, we must target the Nguni speaking languages, and we know Ikwebezi has so many people, Kwarkwara, so many, Ukhozi, so many. We could be speaking to about 11 million people at a go through media, through the people who are better practitioners there. And Usutu also, something like that. In that way, my view would be that we can better talk to our people, depending on what are we talking about. Or when the president or the minister has spoken about certain issues, then from the department, you have someone, Aitaglama, CPD speaking media, Omunyebde, Sengoni, Omguni speaking media. Now, there are also issues that I thought have not, that I wanted to seek charity on. Or Umrana has said something about, they locally recruited the SSL. Are you saying that you vet them in those countries? How do you vet them? For example, you hire some few people in France, some in Spain, some in Nigeria, some in China, and they must be vetted by people that you trust. You see, it's a South African security service or whatever. How is it done? However, if for security reasons you can't explain, say so, but you shouldn't. If for security reasons you can't say so, and you shouldn't. Because it is important, I think, Kumbwana was saying the drivers, the people are making tea for us, we need to know who and what they are. I don't want to be extreme, but I know when I was MEC in about 5 departments in Bomala, the Chinese and the Japanese technicians, people are about to fix us this machinery. My printers, they don't even need to talk to you, they just come and say hi, then deal with the thing. If they are two, they speak in their China or in their Japanese language. The rest of you, hi, they are not interested in your language. Now, if you have personnel like that in your mission, you hardly know what Bakulmangan, and then what information they are gathering in your offices and all of those things in an environment such as this one. I'm not sure which department it is, the other time I was asking, but that's extreme when I was saying, whether our people who work in a foreign mission, I actually also told who they drink with, who they fall in love with, what places they can go to and cannot go to in the interest of the country. Because probably their private life ceases to exist, or at least it is limited. It has to. The issue about the not infrastructure was spoken about, not say you beg. Economic diplomacy, Mukhalafa, is it what you were raising?
Yeah.
I'm with you on that one. I think, you see, it's like classical imperialism. It was first the Bible, then it was the missionaries, the Bible, then it was the flag of the country. They take over the country and they trade, they take the minerals for the country. So, nothing stops South Africa from championing and creating conditions of peace. But out of that, the South African business people within the continent and elsewhere in the world must benefit in terms of commercial or in trade. It's a dog-eat-dog situation. It's a dog-eat-dog situation because now that the world is relatively a free world, the highest competition among countries is for resources. To maximize the economy of each so that you can address your unemployment, your poverty, and even become a rich country. And even impose your will on the poor countries because you are rich. And whilst on this, maybe it's a tall order for you as a department, but if it could be discussed somewhere. You see, the former colonial powers will never change the trade relations with their former colony, as far as I'm concerned. They will make sure that in Mozambique, in Swaziland, in South Africa, and everywhere else, they get raw material unprocessed. It comes to them in France and everywhere else. They process it, selling it to you very expensive. So, in that way, industrialization, maybe it should not be a thing. In that way, industrialization and other things, sit along with it. These countries will assist us. They are not unlikely to assist us. But the point I'm making is that in terms of engagement with economic diplomacy and trade, etc., etc., have got to be attended.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr.
Mwangwa. I was checking for the G77. Is it 2015 or 20? What did I want? South Africa will be elected as a chair of G77 in September 2014. Have we been elected? Or our deputy today? What I say? How do we, are we able to influence this environment of the 77 countries in terms of economy, politically and diplomatically, to enhance the standing status of South Africa and the African continent? To what extent are these assisting us? Perhaps the last one would have been the issue about NEPAD. We say that we held one NEPAD summit and one steering committee in the first quarter. How active is NEPAD? I thought that it was dying down, you know. Whether it is the concept itself was still very much visible in Africa, we're trading with Africa. Whether we're doing that under the new partnership for Africa's development, under which dimensions of NEPAD. NEPAD diplomacy in terms of faith, NEPAD in terms of politics, NEPAD in terms of what is. And now that you've got this North-South corridor, where we'll be rolling out infrastructure from South Africa, probably to Cairo, sorry. And now that the BRICS Bank will be established in South Africa in Joburg, and this mandate will be to fund the infrastructure. Means we are going to roll out infrastructure from South Africa to the north, the Presidential Infrastructure Champion Initiative. Is it the same as NEPAD? Or NEPAD is something else, or they are going to complement each other? Yeah, those would have been some of my comments and the observations. The completion of the some politics about the Chancellor. The completion of the Chancellor is that are under construction and everywhere else. The one that is in the Longwe, the one that is let us check. The other one is in the Longwe. The other one is in Tarasalam. What are the dates of completion and how does that affect our spend in a quarter? For instance, if it was in the second quarter, it goes into the third quarter into the fourth quarter. But if it is not done by March 2015, it means it falls into the other quarter. Then from April is the new financial year, 15 and 16. What happens if the fiscal work there is at about 40% or 50% or 70%. What happens? Then how do you engage treasury that, look, don't take this money because the Chancellor is and other construction work that has not been completed.
And what is the period of migration from ARF to SATPA? By when are we going to say, now we have SATPA? Thank you. But who did you?
Thanks. It's around 48 questions. We don't know how long. So we try to answer some of them. But let's start by thanking members for the observations on the Ubuntu Awards. And thank you, members, that this is an annual event. And we hope that next year, through our offices and the secretariat of the committee, the members will be able to attend. So that's the first thing. Second thing, I think the members of the division may...
Just a moment. Let me just attend to the members here. Honorable Rafuti, Maila, Maila moved out, and Nathan, and Kenya. You have to go to the Home Affairs meeting. Sorry? By 1 o'clock. It's 1:15. Well, how do we deal with that? There are questions to the TG in Isaac Keel. Can you assist the chair to think with your crisis and that?
I think you can be invited. So
that
we can
be one suggestion.
Yeah.
One suggestion. The other one?
Yeah, I'm supporting you. So, this is the B and Mohala, and, you know, and then we'll fight.
So, the members that are going to remain will be three.
With who? With you.
And now we can proceed. We can proceed. We can proceed.
You can be released.
You will be me, Mumbwa, and Mala. Then the one who will win. It was nice department sitting down to write all of the answers to these questions. It's just another tall order. Proceed there, TG.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, the members, and thank you, members, for going to our eyes and taking the observation made by one of in terms of the movement on the ICT, and took note of Honorable Rapuji and you, Chair, about Ubuntu Radio and what could be achieved. We took a note, Honorable Rapuji, about the forms to get engaged in nominating people for the awards, and I could have been taking notes about that. And let me just a few things, then I will leave. Ramash, I want to summarize others because of time issues. All of the members here. I think I should do the white paper because it affects most members here. Now, Chair, if you recall, last year we did say we have tables of the white paper. But we are just waiting for you to invite us so that we can then go through it again, this white paper. Chair, it is not meant to be an act, as you say. No matter what you do, we want to have just a broad outline of an external approach of our policy. That's what it's like. We didn't have this thing before. We just wanted to show our members how we really aware and how do we, from the constitution, from the policy, how do we approach to foreign policy. You are right, Chair. Most people think that you are too Africa-focused. And you say, but it's our neighborhood. They will complain forever that translation to us. Of course, you need to be as global as possible, but I think that's not unthinkable that will be Africa bias in our foreign policy approach. Of course, we accrue a lot of other benefits by the linkages all over the world. That's what you see, our missions are all over the world, because we have bilateral relations with almost everybody and play roles in the area. Now, if you're going to MGSF, we'll see a strategy through all the focus areas, and we hope that during this period, Chair, there could be an appreciation and the conclusion on the issue of the white paper. So, Chair, we're waiting for invitation. The second one is the LRP. Chair, it's a bit of history. Most of our entities, it was an understanding that you would always hire local people. You have full track of officials in there. Workers in the embassy, the diplomats from your country, and then you hire locals where you are. But we thought, because of the issues that were raised by the members, security concerns, the issue of continuity. The diplomats are only there for 4 years, then you go. We thought that we should hire more and more Africans. Now, what areas? So the first step was to say to the ambassadors, because we only have to comply with the local laws, is surrounding staff with you, the cook and clean. One of the 6 missions, we can have the 8 South Africans give them their exposure. The second one, Chair, you are right, is the clean. The South Africans who do this job, that's a big approach, as you begin to develop them. Because that's where the duty is. And then the drive, of course, because they did the excellence over the phone. Just identify the issue of accountants. You know, those bookkeepers that we should. So there is a sort of like a revolution going on to say more and more South Africans. Now, for the RRP in the whole country, for that be a requirement to show their records, that says no, at least the local police must say to us, one, they don't have criminal records. Two, they don't want it for this and that. That's a basic thing. Now, South Africans is there for us. They don't get dating like diplomats, but at least what they do, you have seen moving from here going abroad to work at LRP. They go to the police station, then check their records, and then give them the call that don't give a record, there's no this, da-da-da-da. Then at least we know that these people are chemistry. It's a step towards securing the mission. It's still a long one because there's still a bit of resistance even among ourselves to ask an African. I don't know what is the problem. Now, we hope that in the near future, all excellencies will take, like other diplomats, they will take an African and work with them in the mission, in the residence, at least, they must be secured. And then they can move equipment to other areas of work. So also having a registration of South Africans abroad, say, recently the mission. Some of them are there by marriage, by study, by work, so there's no register. So the only thing is that there, we say, best reference is South Africans. The other important thing to discuss, which has been discussed in programs, is economic diplomacy. We have there, in those three programs, that you talked about the second quarter, third quarter, a bulk of it is to train diplomats, both in head office and in the missions, to make sure that the front line understands everything. Even there is a toolbox, a tool box of diplomats. We say this is how you organize a trade show, and this is how you go to the investor, that's a question you should request invest. This is how you put technology, all sort of, you know, we've changed from a political engagement. Of course, it has to be there, but more to more towards present matter issues. Because in this life, in this one lies the potential for South Africa. Diplomats have to assist the country to create jobs. So now I move towards that area. I'm very grateful that we have raised this question over and over about the intelligence. So what we do, no set of mission. We have also trained others, all of them over the missions. But in fact, it's supposed to be a model for all diplomats. What are the mission of month? So we collaborate with the GTI. We'll send a team to Singapore to look at this. Because Singapore is not this thing. So in that stage, I think it will also be worthwhile for our members just to get a new or two. In this effort, so there's 20 global sites that there. So then, when are we going to be doing more and more? The third one is around multilateral. What do you do with the chair of G7 China? We have deliberately calculated when to chair this forum. And in our calculation phase, 2015 is a very critical year for three reasons. The first reason is because it's the 20 years of United Nations. This year. And therefore we need to look deeper into the nation and its organs and say that it's still flat, the will of the global community. Secondly, in terms of the reforms, it's not the time to take a big leap in terms of the UN reforms. This is the time we think we can do that. The second reason for this year was because of the coming to an end of Millennium Development Goals and the key theme of the post-development agenda. So it says, because we need to amplify the voice of developing countries, perhaps if you share these 134 countries, these are 134 countries plus China, we have enough swell, you know, mass ground swell to get the impact of policies in the UN. And that is why, and we're very grateful that the G7 has given a chance to be that body. It's a difficult body, difficult policies, but if I to coordinate the right consensus to move on, it's very difficult. I mean, in Africa, it's difficult in Africa. Now, if you have Asia, Middle East, you have the Pacific, you have Caribbean, it's very difficult. But what we wanted to do is ask them where, on major issues, like those issues, again, from the MDGs, to make finally, so that the post-development agenda should also be a development agenda in the real sense of a way. That was the same reason, share that we thought that it should be so. But also, this is the COP21, the time, no, the summit, the very serious summit comes to France later in the year. When it goes to COP, among other things, legally binding commitments. You see, we didn't have for about 10 years, as I just go here and say now, post Kyoto, we must be legally binding now. Why do you do that? It has impact on the economy. It has impact everywhere. So we thought that being a collective and engaging on these issues, using BRICS, using AU, using SADC, using G20, and then have this board of countries, we can at least make sure that the agenda and the issues of developing countries are recognized when we deal with the G20. COP21 that is going to develop that, including the Financial for Development in June and the creation of the Green Global Fund this year. So these are very important envelopes to try to definitely help you for this thing. So that is why we thought it is timely for us to be the head of this incident plus chair. But I want to deal with those broad issues Now, this part has been programmized. If I did not die, what you see in the last 10 years, was to say, how do we translate the spirit of NIPAD into delivering things for Africa? So this huge infrastructure programs, these corridors from east to west, north to south, energy, telecommunication, road, rail, is permanentization of NIPAD. So it's not even concrete. So you can see the phase of the country changing. So we translate the spirit of NIPAD into great programs. Then also goes in terms of question of capacity building, like in the peace and security, post-conflict, peace. So those NIPAD has been now been programmatized. It is the NIPAD Secretariat is a big part now of AU Secretariat thinking. If you see how we develop a 2063 agenda, AU agenda, you see the role of NIPAD there. In some sense, so you get a philosophy of the agenda. We move towards the next year, but somebody must provide a substance. Somebody is going to keep cohesion for Africa, going to prepare Africa forward. It is NIPAD work, together with the ECA and other agencies. So NIPAD has been programmatized. So I think that's a very good investment for South Africa to keep NIPAD, to fund NIPAD. Because now we can make the slogan, because we can prove the African. Not only in terms of security, not in terms of peace, but also in terms of the economy. Because African must have the economy from that. That is why the watchword now in NIPAD programs and AU is energy beneficiation. Everybody says now, because we couldn't put in jobs anymore, let's beneficiate in Africa, promote jobs. This is why if you go to even the G20 summit in Brisbane, Article 20, in the Brisbane summit it says, we must add value in developing countries. It's a cool name of now add zero into this. So you were told in the G20 chair that if you go to Oakley, the coast town, it should be a very thriving mindset. No one sees ghost town in Americana, ghost town in the world. Oh, no, I know, I did that. But it's not bad. In the next 20 years, it will be ghost bad. Now he says no. In the field of NIPAD, let's add zero. In this region, SADC is mining. If you don't add zero, you are going to have the next 120 years. A success story. Now, that is the spirit of NIPAD. That is just agriculture also. We're very close in the presentation address. This was linked up in his 9-point plan. talking about agriculture and infrastructure, talks about beneficiation, it's a spiritual ask. That is why I want to check. Yeah, it's not that you deal with these two immediate issues and take it to the comment. SADPA here is migration. We have so seen, we have calculated that by this year, we shall have SADPA here. We, you know, the cabinet sent us back to DT, to National Treasury, and then engaged with Ramashah, with the ministers and everybody, to say, what will resolve this small article left? National Treasury and concurrence. They said, no, but SADPA, the way it is written, the bill, there's a lot of safeguards. Minister Executive, the Norwegian Advisory Committee, an independent CEO of SADPA. CEO independent. Claim separate. So you don't need a conference because it delays. But the legislature is still holding on that. That's where it is. Otherwise, we have long table this bill. But we hope to find together Dirkon, Dita, and Nisabelle. So, those are the provisional. Luckily, they financed, by the way, secretariat. They gave us 6 million dollars now. Has a secretariat.
So
I think it's temporary, but we hope we can move according to what you call. So, Chair, I'm going to take both high levels one, and then noting some of the recommendations made by honorable members on how to do certain things, etc. But I'll leave how much out to deal with the other issues that you have raised, Chair.
Thank you, DJ. It's half past one now. We must have set our lunch by quad 10-2 and move. Yours is moving at 2. Well, you can be ready. My phone is on the phone, delay. They are coming at mine. Ramashah, is there anything I would have said again, this is only man of God. There was an item, and Mukhalapa asked me whether it was we're bringing it in for purposes of prophecy, and I said exactly that. We received a petition. Yeah. You can name where he hit with those who are in your heart. But hurry slowly, not too fast. I was saying, we did receive a petition from the Palestinian National Coalition. Now, it was directed to the speaker. But the areas of work refer at least to 6 departments, because it talks about trade, don't trade with Israel. It also says expel the Israeli ambassador and recall the South African ambassador, peace and rest. It also says go to the United Nations, a campaign for the expulsion of Israel, all manner of things like that. So Honorable Kalyan raised this matter in the last meeting, and I said we'll come back to this. That's why I have inserted it into the agenda. Now, what I want to suggest we do is that because it is affecting, because she was quoting Honorable that MD Mandela, who's going to be in the country of Mandela. Who energy? She's in Mina, he is in Mina. They won't go to Mandela. They go to Mandela. They can turn to Matthew. Yeah, now, I think what I will do, I must meet who Honorable Frolic, who is the chair of chairs, then he must convene a meeting of all the chairpersons, because I can't convene those, it's beyond my power. Then once he has done so, then he must say, here is this petition. In this area, it affects trade and industry. This one, energy. This one, culture. This one,
internet. Then we'll run with it. Then we'll see, after we've discussed it, maybe we'll call all these committees together and look at this, at the petition, and say all of the committees or delegates from each of these six affected controller committees. After we've done that, the way I see it, I will recommend to that system that we must then call this coalition, and they must be called by all of us in these six personal committees. Then we must respond to them. We must say, can we expel the Israeli ambassador? Can we recall that? Can we, but certain things, as they are saying we must do, can only be done in the executive. But even if we call them as this personal committee, we say so, they still go to NH, they will not know what do we think, because we would not have harmonized our views of Parliament on behalf of the Speaker around the letters they are reading. So that's a process I'm seeing. I can give a progress report at some point. I hope it is well with you.
Yeah.
Okay. So the report that I will, Honorable Kalia,
yeah,
with the letter, it will be processed.
Yeah. You can reflect on the main point as well.
Yeah. And then again, I think it's literally emitting now. Find time and place for me for the night. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Are there any announcements?
Can you speak to that?
Thank you, Chief. Thank you for the announcement. I've been giving people work. I'm not sure I'm about to go away. I should go to the bar popular now. Thank
you.